Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, it's the final day of the first month of 2011, January 31st, 2011, on this live Monday edition. I can't think of a better time to have our regular guest and analyst, Webster Tarpley, joining us coming up in the second hour today. And then the once-a-month visit of Max Kaiser on the rebellion popping up all over the Muslim world from Saudi Arabia through Jordan, not just Tunisia, with that government falling a week and a half ago, and of course all of it centering in and around Egypt, also rebellions going on in Yemen. And I don't default blame George Soros and the UN and the globalists for something until I see evidence. And last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I said, look, the people there are starving. The people there have been under a dictator for 30 years. And they're ripe for revolution. And I just can't see why the globalists would want to remove Hosni Mubarak, unless it's a strategy of tension to destabilize the whole region, which we know they tried to do with Saddam Hussein the first time and succeeded the second time in 2003. First time in 1990-91, second time 2003. And so when they know a country is ripe for revolution, the globalists know how to trigger it themselves to then come in and take over. Now, I wasn't sure of that on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, but by Friday evening, I have the Associated Press, the London Telegraph, Egyptian newspapers, and now it's admitted that this Mohammed El-Baradei, the former head of the UN Atomic Energy Agency, U.S.-trained, heavily hooked in above CIA, Davos, Bilderberg, you name it, this guy is a complete globalist, and now it's admitted he arrived a week before the demonstrations began and gave speeches about a rebellion, and that the West, again, above our governments, these private banking think tank interlocking systems that control our governments, are moving to run Hosni Mubarak out of Egypt and destabilize the entire country. And now Zbigniew Brzezinski is basically calling for him to leave. Now, the globalists admitted on Saturday, we covered this on the Sunday show yesterday, that, well, if they openly call for Hosni Mubarak to step down, that then the anti-Western and anti-Israel fervor would shift against the West and in favor of Hosni Mubarak. And so they're organizing the rebellion in the streets, triggering a powder keg that was already there and legitimately angry, but then publicly backing off and supporting Hosni Mubarak, the dictator, so that he won't get support from the population, waking up to the fact that a new puppet is being brought in. And I have to say, on Wednesday of last week, we published a Tarpley article at Infowars.com that basically said all this. I said on air I wasn't sure if that was correct, but now it's just admitted that Mohammed El-Baradei was there stirring it all up, and is completely backed by the financial dictatorship that runs our country and much of the Western world. Here's the London Telegraph. Egypt protest America's secret backing of rebel leaders behind uprising. And they don't just have Mohammed El-Baradei under their wing. They've got two or three or even four, depending on the country, layers of all the opposition on their payroll. So if he gets in and they rebel more and don't like it, as sometimes happens with these overthrows, you could have two or three presidents or prime ministers in the space of a week or a month, sometimes a year. It varies to where more shark teeth will just roll forward. Just absolutely incredible. And the Muslim Brotherhood, known British / Israeli intelligence, called radical Muslims by the media, they're meanwhile running around trying to overthrow another globalist ally. That's Jordan. The protests have flared up all over Saudi Arabia. We're going to talk about where this is going geopolitically, look at the economy here, and the internet kill switch. Oh, they're back with it.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're live. It is Monday, the 31st day of January 2011. Webster Griffin Tarpley, expert on George Soros type, Zbigniew Brzezinski type financed overthrows of governments around the world, will be joining us in the next hour. Max Kaiser with his once a month visit on the economy and so much more will be joining us today in the third hour. I want to open the phones up specifically for first time callers who want to comment on what their view is of the entire Middle Eastern North Africa situation, with blow-ups now happening in Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, obviously Egypt, and of course Tunisia that fell to a new government just a few weeks ago. And in every one of these cases, the West is bragging out of one side of their mouth, the George Soros, Davos, Switzerland type crowd. This is even above government, the big banking cartels, the Ponzi scheme operators that are been so successful, they've taken the planet over through fraud. They are openly bragging all over the news that they have engineered this. And I just, you know, don't go with their crowing statements. I actually went and did, obviously, research on Muhammad al-Baradi and on the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood and others. And they are all openly globalist, of course. With Baradi, there's no secret, the former head of the Atomic Energy Agency at the UN, trained at prestigious schools in the United States, Davos, Bilderberg Group attendee. Clearly, this is their new man for Egypt, even though Hosni Mubarak set up the torture camps, the secret arrest centers, people worldwide flown in there to be brutally tortured, their children to be tortured and even sexually abused in front of them. The CIA bragged in 2002 to the Washington Post that they were torturing kids in front of their parents in Egypt. I mean, this is who runs our government. Offshore banks who were totally and completely ruthless and stabbed their minion Saddam Hussein in the back, stabbed their minion Hosni Mubarak in the back. They stab everyone in the back, and the globalists are stabbing America in the back. China devalues their currency as a tariff so that we can't compete. Plus, they have no environmental standards and sell us junk. The World Trade Organization rules against us in every case with China. That's the big central banks stabbing us in the back for their darling dictatorship in China. This is the globalist master plan. Play nations off against each other to make every nation on earth weak and the big mega central banks strong. Now, that said, while we're busy watching what's happening in the Middle East and North Africa, and we're going to be going over all of that today, PC World, The Age, and others are all reporting that they are trying now to finish completion of the Internet kill system. And these are giant grids at AT&T and all the other major telecommunications companies that already have NSA snooping hubs built into them, in many cases entire buildings that have been built on or entire floors, that's all part of the public record. Now they're hardwiring giant snooping systems to expand the snooping and to analyze encrypted packets and to analyze, obviously, societal and business trends to be fed back to the globalist and to shut the Internet off entirely, crippling our society. One way they can launch this is claiming that there's been an Internet cyber attack. Another way that the globalists can do this is to claim that they're protecting us from a cyber attack and had to shut it off. Again, A, they can attack the system, claim it's outsiders, bring the system down, and then use that as an excuse to bring in even more control in the name of protecting it. And that is more along their modus operandi. But they like to change it up. They can also run an outside attack and claim they're shutting the web off to protect critical infrastructure. They've publicly put out those trial balloons and said that's reasons they may do this. Or they may just piecemeal with the Internet ID, the Internet taxes, and the local hubs that they're demanding under the Cybersecurity Act be put into place, so that even if you try to set up local, city, or even neighborhood networks, by law, they will jam and block those. Also, they're recruiting through the See Something, Say Something InfraGuard system as a subdivision of SecureCorp, itself a subgroup of AmeriCorps, and the Jobs to Work programs are openly announcing that they are going to recruit in mass high schoolers and college students to man the giant cybersecurity systems that they're building nationwide in giant NSA command bases that will spy, subvert, post counter propaganda, in their words, that is openly trolling, posting on message boards, putting out disinformation, something CENTCOM for 8 years admits they're already doing. We've also got developments coming up later dealing with now more than 40 states filing lawsuits against government takeover of healthcare. And it's also come out in the news today that not only is Obama giving over now 500 businesses, including McDonald's franchise, waivers from government healthcare, meaning it's an unfair trade advantage against their competition that must purchase healthcare, but now he's giving the Congress waivers and other federal employees. That's in the Washington Times. We're going to be covering that as well today. Also on the economic front, I've told you that the highest interest rates were 35% on credit cards. That's now changed. The APR is now 59.9. This is what the big central banks are doing with the banker bailout money. We back it up as taxpayers, give it to them with zero interest. They then leverage it to infinity and loan it out on average at 14.72 and as high as 59.9, CNN reporting that. Of course, up until a few years ago, it was illegal to charge more than 30%. Now they're going directly to loan sharking rates of 59.9. Loan sharking historically has been about 25, but they let them go up to 30. Now they've changed the law as part of credit card reform to allow it to be unlimited. That's how they reform things, to help you out. Oh, man. Whew. The order has gone out to just have unlimited tyranny upon the American people. But getting back to Egypt and how it bounces back to the U.S., Europe's put the kill switches in. The kill switches are now in the U.S. They're getting everybody ready for a cyber attack at the 9,000 locations with the telescreens. One of the announcements is the head of cybersecurity that hasn't even gotten cabinet funding yet, hasn't been passed by Congress, but is in place, saying the internet's under attack. Terrorists are about to hit it. The internet's not safe. We're trying to protect it. Report bad things on the internet to police. Just all part of a hysteria. Then they walk out front, see a guy on a cell phone. It turns into a gun. They call SWAT teams. It's all part of just the mental illness, fleeing when none pursueth. Ignoring all the real crime, all the real terror, all the real corruption, and only focusing in on seeing phantoms in and around your neighborhood. But continuing here, as Egypt goes offline, U.S. gets internet kill switch bill ready. This is out of The Age in Australia. As Egypt's government attempts to crack down on street protesters by shutting down internet and mobile phone services, and that's what this is really for. See, they know they're going in to the end of the American way, the end of the American way of life, the end of liberty, the end of wealth, the end of the engine of everything good. This is all by design, the post-industrial U.S. We're going into bondage. And so they've got to, just like with Egypt, they've got to have the grid in place. And it's not to stop Al-Qaeda or the Chinese from attacking us via cyber. It's about shutting down the internet when they have the bank holiday, when they devalue your currency, or when they completely take your pension fund. They've already taken most of the veterans' pension funds and their death benefits. Bloomberg AP. The sky's the limit. They've trained local spy groups. They've trained the police to hate the American people. They've trained them to eat their own guts and ask for seconds. We are the enemy. The Marine Corps doesn't run and do chants about killing commies for mommy. They do chants about killing American school children. That came out in Counterpunch and other publications a few years ago. They trained the troops to shoot their own mother in the drills. Will you shoot your mother if I tell you, sir? Yes, sir. And they have drills about locking cities down in the Army and Marines and National Guard And the role players say, I'm your uncle, I'm your brother, please don't take me. And you billy club them in the head, and you take them to the truck, and you load them. And you get that petty power trip while your bank account's being sucked dry, while your pension's being sucked dry. You're never going to get any health care. You're never going to get any property. You're never going to have any future. They're going to make you so poor and so overthrown that they can put all the fluoride in your food and water they want. And you know what? You're going to deliver. You like violent video games. You like violent culture. You think the devil's sexy. You festoon yourself with those symbols. You are going to get to drink from the cup of abomination. You love the curses of 51 million abortions. You love the curses of a million dead Iraqis. You love all the blood on our name, on our hands. You are going to get to drink from absolute abomination. You want pain. You want suffering. You want judgment. You want hell. You want degradation. The gates are now being opened. Everything that America wants dearly in their satanic heart, they will now get. The abomination churches worshiping global government, worshiping tyranny, telling their flocks to lay down, under Homeland Security, cybersecurity training, to tell their flocks to take the injections and go to the FEMA camps. Everything you want is now materializing. Everything you desire. Because you hate yourselves deep down and you want to be punished, and you will be. Continuing, as Egypt goes offline, U.S. gets internet kill switch bill ready. The Russians got to sup from the cup of death. The Germans got to sup. The Cambodians got to sup. The Iraqis have got to sup with the banks that run our country funding them. And now you will get to sup. You want to sit down at this bloody orgy? You want to sit down at this table laid bare with the futures of our children and literally eat their souls as your soul has been trafficked and sold to the old serpent? If you don't repent now and hit your afterburners to warn everybody and wake up and hit your knees and wear sackcloth and pour ashes over yourself, you are going to be gobbled up. You just watch. You want satanic government? You got it. We'll be right back. Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We are here live. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I'm not trying to be negative, but Hitler killing tens of millions, Stalin killing tens of millions, Lenin killing tens of millions, Mao, Pol Pot, the list goes on and on. Think about Stalin killing conservatively 35 million people. Conservatively 60 million under Mao. And our government, our so-called government, is now on record admitting they helped put Mao into power. And David Rockefeller and all these other globalists write articles and books about how great he was and how we need that system. Think of a million dead. That's 10 sports stadiums with 100,000 each. Men, women, children, little babies killed. Think of 64 million, that's the conservative estimate, that Mao killed. 64 million murdered. Now, if that isn't black cup of abomination, if that isn't total degradation, think about 51 million people dead. How many sports stadiums is that? How many sports stadiums filled with 100,000 people is 51 million? That's how many babies didn't get to get born in America. So see, all this death goes on around us. And so we're shocked when tyranny starts rearing its head. We're shocked that the federal government would sign secret deals 11 years ago to begin stealing the death benefits of U.S. troops as they die. Of course they're going to get away with that. If they can steal tens of trillions of dollars, and then Congress says, where's the money going, Federal Reserve? And they say, we're not going to tell you. And the former Fed head goes on Lehrer NewsHour and says, we're above the law. Nobody can touch us or investigate us because they say so, because they're wearing a suit. Is there nothing we won't put up with? Is there no level of humiliation? My words can't describe what's been set up. The banks that have run the world for the last 70 years conservatively have funded dictators, have funded wars, have funded both sides of conflicts, and they're bringing a hellish system in. And then they admit all over the news that these big financial interests that run our country are overthrowing Hosni Mubarak to bring in another guy involved in torture and corruption. Another guy involved in all of this persecution? They got rid of Saddam and brought in more tyranny. It's actually accelerated now that Saddam Hussein is gone. They want it to be bad. They want to destroy these countries. They want you on your belly starving. They want you and myself and everybody else dead. That's their end game. They want us gone. They've bought up the world through fraud, and they are tired of looking at us. I want to go to this clip and then go to break and come back. But this is Zbigniew Brzezinski on ABC News last night, openly saying that he wants Hosni Mubarak to step down. Now, here's the Brzezinski model. This is one of the architects of these type of color revolutions against the globalist own ally, Hosni Mubarak. Here it is.
We're joined now by a man who has helped navigate U.S. foreign policy way back during the Iranian Revolution. He is Zbigniew Brzezinski, who used to be President Carter's national security advisor, joins us now. Thank you for being with us. I want to start by asking you, does Mubarak have to go, or, as the administration seems to hope, he can implement enough reforms to get through this moment? Is that realistic?
I don't think that's realistic. What could be a realistic is that Mubarak himself becomes convinced, with outside advice, that it is in his interest, as well as in Egypt's interest, that he goes, and that he sets in motion a process which facilitates that. I think the alternatives otherwise are much tougher. Either the army cracks down, and the populace increasingly turns to fundamentalism, radicalism, in reaction to the crackdown, or the regime perpetuates itself, and an explosion comes later and even more violently.
Okay. And it goes on from there. Notice how they fed the sounds of rioting and chanting. That reminds me of Chicago last week said to make everybody happier, they're going to put up broadcasting towers that play the sound of tweeting and singing and chirping birds. See, the mindset is we're creatures in a laboratory. We're creatures on a slide in a petri dish. And they're the social engineers manipulating us. But exactly as I said Sunday, once they began to admit that they were orchestrating this, the globalist, that they knew that there was a trigger coming for true freedom in Egypt. And so they sent their globalist stooge in with money and backing to go ahead and overthrow their old apprentice, their old puppet out, Count Dooku, or Hosni Mubarak, and they're going to replace him with Darth Vader, Muhammad El-Baradei, if you want to use a Star Wars analogy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Devastating globalist lies, exposing the mainstream media's propaganda machine, tirelessly waging war on corruption. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6 in Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We see the Earth from here. It's a private banking cartel playing nations, races, religions off against each other. They then pose as the arbiter, or the referee, and the financiers to fix the crises that they create or that they energize. And so by Saturday and then by Sunday, it began to become completely, absolutely clear that the establishment knew that Egypt was on the edge of revolt. Because the IMF and World Bank in the last year had ordered them to institute austerity measures right at half their population making under $2 a day, many of their people starving or malnourished, the UN coming in saying they'd give them more money if they engaged in sterilization and abortion. That's been a big fight. And Hosni Mubarak could not Even though he's a dictator, he could not force that on the Egyptians. So the globalists had blocked Egypt from industrializing, which would have caused them to stop having as many children that the globalists think is so dangerous. And so while blocking their development, which then triggers larger populations in every case, then they come in and demand that the abortion and the other eugenics operations be carried out. And that's clearly one of the main reasons the UN has been critical of the regime in their 20 years of demands that they get busy killing their people like China has done. So extremely serious situation there. And so they know that the people were about to rebel and take their nation back. That's seen as radical. Can't actually have a Middle Eastern country run by the people. And so in comes this Mohammed El-Baradei, top globalist, top UN minion, top eugenicist to carry out that operation. But then the U.S. has to tacitly approve of Hosni Mubarak so the population doesn't wake up to what's happening and actually give Mubarak support once they realize that that's the dictator now out of favor with the New World Order. And undoubtedly what they're about to get is going to be a lot worse. So the globalists put gas on the fire, fuel on the fire, accelerant on the blaze by making them cut the food allowances that, again, right at half the population is surviving on. And so you see millions of very lean people on the verge of starvation, malnutrition epidemic, hitting the streets for food. And don't worry, the man on the white horse arrives. Mohammed El-Baradei, he will save you. And the Muslim Brotherhood that I hear neocons talking about being radical Muslims that want to get us, admittedly run by British, Israeli, and U.S. intelligence, trying now to overthrow Saudi Arabia. Openly, the head of the Muslim Brotherhood saying they're going to overthrow Jordan, the big ally, because they don't want Jordan with factories and hotels and fighter jets and friendly royalty and an elite wearing Armani suits and women sipping Coca-Cola on the street corners at the cafes. They want them like Iraq, truck bombings, guys running around with hoods on their heads, screaming Allah Akbar, blowing up Shiites and Sunnis, killing each other. The grand chessboard, destruction. You cannot serve the New World Order. You cannot lick their boots and have them leave you alone. Anyone who can stand, anyone who can tie their shoelaces is an enemy of the New World Order, including America. We're taught to have this lustful hate of the Muslims while Western governments bring them in as fast as they can. While the tax-free foundations, Carnegie, Rockefeller, and other endowments, Ford, fund the radical Muslims, fund the liberation theology, fund the jihad, fund the takeover in the prisons, which are giant education centers for the Muslims to take over. They are creating that foreign enemy and then offering their solution. Just as they fund the Hispanic liberation, the black liberation, just as the FBI has been caught and the Southern Poverty Law Center and others running and infiltrating and controlling the white supremacist. And that's why the white supremacist, whether they know it or not, some of them are useful idiots at the bottom, hate this show so much because I call them out when it constantly gets revealed in lawsuits and court hearings that in every case, the commanders, the leaders of the Aryan nations, the commanders, the leaders of the white supremacist, of the Klan, of the Elohim City, of these marches through minority areas of cities, they're not infiltrated by feds. They are run by feds to make us fight with each other. Mecha, La Raza, Ku Klux Klan, Aryan Nations, Hal Turner, all of it to get us at each other's throats while the New World Order brings in its tyranny. It's called Balkanization, divide and conquer. Now, I listened to local radio this morning, local AM. Then I listened to local FM. Then I listened to national AM. Then I checked the news listings for about 3 hours, scanning back and forth. And I heard this big demonization of Hosni Mubarak because he did an internet kill switch and shut the web off. And certainly, I mean, what do you think a dictator now in his Hitlerian bunker, as Der Spiegel points out, surrounded on all sides. What do you think he's going to do? But none of them want to talk about the internet kill switch our government has already constructed and has already built. As Egypt goes offline, U.S. gets internet kill switch bill ready. The Age, Sydney Morning Herald. For some reason, the Australians are big on this. PC World, they're all reporting on it. Oh, but I don't hear those talk show hosts crying out against that. In fact, a lot of conservatives agree we need this because of Al-Qaeda, yes. And then they launch an attack on the web, say Al-Qaeda did it, shut the web down for a time, and when they roll out the new web, it's got all the controls in place that are already there. A nice false flag on our liberty, and they'll have the average liberal and conservative on talk radio, on TV, cheering, we're not going to let Al-Qaeda win, we've got a new, unfree internet. That'll keep us safe. We've got to have this internet for commerce. As Egypt's government attempts to crack down on street protests by shutting down internet and mobile phone services, the U.S. is preparing to reintroduce a bill that could be used to shut down the internet. Yeah, I've got Lieberman, Jay Rockefeller, Obama all saying, while China's got it, we need to be able to shut the web off to protect it during a Chinese attack or an Al-Qaeda attack. Oh, yes. Oh. Then they lie and say, oh, they can shut off red lights. Oh, they can shut off respirators. None of that by law can be hooked into the internet. Oh, you can go up to a terminal on the side of the road and reprogram a sign if you've got the skills. One sign. You cannot. It's on its own network. It was initially introduced last year but expired with a new Congress. Yeah, they say the terrorists are going to make the nuclear reactors go off. Really, when the U.S. and Israel made the Stuxnet 3 months ago, a spy had to put it in with a thumb drive into the computer and into every piece of equipment that was separated. Globalist spies had to load it directly in because it wasn't hooked to the internet, even in Iran. Oh, but then our media said, we've got to give up our internet freedom and have the kill switch because of Stuxnet. That happened right as they were lobbying to pass it. And then they later admit our own government with Israel launches the Stuxnet that bounces back on our countries in the West. And then they have no shame. They say, we've got to take over the internet to stop Stuxnet. We've got to take your liberty because of Stuxnet that the terrorists launched. And they go, by the way, we launched it. As if common sense doesn't exist with the childlike, servile public. And I'm talking about that group in the public that is servile and crouches down to lick the tyrannical hand of the New World Order, that loves it, that lives to grovel, lives to sound like second-grade children gibbering on talk radio, filled with ignorance, repeating the false paradigm information they've downloaded. It was initially introduced last year but expired with the new Congress. Senator Susan Collins, a co-sponsor of the bill, said that unlike Egypt, where the government was using its powers to quell dissent by shutting down the internet, it would not. Really, the administration admits they want to use it for that, and the White House science czar and the regulation czar and others have called for restricting people that disagree with the globalist. So has the FCC commissioner. So has other members of the FCC board. I mean, you haven't heard the countless members of Congress calling for total censorship of free speech in America? What rock are you hiding under, Collins? Oh, let us turn the web off and have the power. But I promise, we're the government. We don't lie. My legislation will provide a mechanism for the government to work with private sector. That means take it over. You ought to read the Cybersecurity Act. In the event of a true cyber emergency. Yeah. Collins said, in an emailed statement to Wired, it would give our nation the best tools available to swiftly respond to a significant threat. Exactly. The banks only got unlimited trillions with the banker bailout to save us from the bad financial decisions that weren't bad for them that they put in place with Glass-Steagall being removed. They create the crisis, think we have no memory, and offer the solution. Here's Wired. Communicate if your government shuts off your internet. And what else did Egypt do? And then I'm going to your calls. They arrested people en masse. Opposition across the board and members of Al Jazeera saying that they're British intelligence. course, Mubarak always knew that because, you know, he works partially for British intelligence. It's kind of the trifecta, the U.S., Israel, and England, all like triple Siamese triplets. And that's what they're doing. And, of course, they arrested Al Jazeera. I mean, it's come out that MSNBC, CNN, all of them are completely government-funded. Your tax money goes through the subsidiaries to them. We have state-run media, but they always thought they could ignore shows like mine and the alternative media. But now that we're rivaling them, they're openly licking their lips saying they want to start shutting us down. And you notice Mubarak arrested the media, the foreign media. Mubarak has arrested all the opposition groups. Leadership. They sent army trucks around to everybody's house to arrest tens of thousands of people. What do you think they're training the army to do here? I've been to the drills to drive around, including picking up city council members, preachers, even people that have served them. Even people that have served them. They've done psychological assessments on them, or maybe the local government operative doesn't like you, so they put you on the list. So you go to a FEMA dungeon. And, of course, you've got to be inoculated for your own safety. They train for that. You show up, you're in a facility, and if you yell and scream and get angry, oh, I'm sorry, you're disruptive, you're going to the Brig facility. And waiting there are the compartmentalized contractors, and they strap you down to that gurney, and they start taking a ball-peen hammer and just smashing your fingers off. Oh, and they've been trained by the thousands. Maybe they take your kids in and start raping them in front of you. Then they take acid and pour it all over your children. Ha, 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 ha. That's your loving USA. USA. That's who runs our country, the same ones that funded Mubarak to do all of that. General Tagumbu's army report, U.S. contractors and U.S. forces raping children with battery acid. Go read it. Army report on torture. Type that in. Of course, General Tagumbu got in a little trouble after he released that, U.S. general. Oh, but that we had to do it to fight the terrorists. They might get us if we don't. No, they were forging an army of hell. They were forging an army of satanic dungeon keepers to be released on us and to trade larger cadres. Look, I'm not trying to scare you. This is the evil that we have created. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who I played earlier, bragged in two books that he wrote that he funded Pol Pot. And Pol Pot killed 30 million people, and he's proud of that. To the globalist, you are honored when you kill. You are honored with the more skulls you have hanging around, you know, the chains that bind their wicked souls. They love it. They live for it. They like it. It's like notches in their gun belt. Do you understand that? Okay, I got a bunch of other news. I said I'd go to your phone calls. We're going to go to calls till 8 after, then Tarpley's joining us. Right now, let's go to Greg in California. Greg, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? I just wanted to bring up a couple of little points that I thought Clinton and Obama, right when everything got really excited, it seemed that they had very well thought out, calculated words that, you know.
Yeah, they're funding the revolution, but in case it doesn't work, they say, oh, well, we want him to stand down while their armies that are funded are taking over.
Right, but Jimmy Carter wouldn't make a difference. And then I just thought it was interesting also that the TSA had the big announcements the day before, and, you know, all the attention got off of that.
That's right. They said, listen, we don't care if the law says you can have private screeners here. We're not going to allow that now. We run things. We're seizing your infrastructure.
It's all beta testing for what we're in store for. It's planting the seed so we can expect to have our internet shut down. And, you know, just on top of everything, I just want to comment, you know, I'm from Berkeley, Oakland, San Francisco. It's really diverse here. I have never met a rude Middle Eastern person in my life, you know, with all this money that we're, you know, putting towards this. It's just ridiculous.
No, they're trying to radicalize the Muslim world. This is where so many sciences, the alphabet, astronomy were developed, chemistry, and they're very intelligent people. and they wanted to have liberty and freedom, and our criminal government, run by the banks, is on record putting radical Muslims in everywhere, and then taking our liberties in the name of fighting the radical Muslims.
Right. They're very gracious people, you know. And it's, you know, everything, no crisis goes to waste. It's what we can expect from our government.
Absolutely. We're in a lot of trouble, Greg. Let's go to Jay in Michigan. Jay, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
I got 2 points I want to try to make and cook down in the soup of chaos here. First, to the corporatists, you know, I've been in business for a number of years up here in Michigan in the automotive industry, and I could tell you there's a trend, a little thing that happens where a lot of tier two vendors that we work with will get bought up by big corporations, and then...
Yeah, stay there. That is the infrastructure, the mid-level infrastructure is being vertically integrated and consolidated, so the web is in the hands of just five or six big mega corporations, and under cybersecurity, it forces the little bitty teeny ISP to put physical Homeland Security snooping grids in.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103.
Globalist puppet Muhammad El-Baradei is demanding, of course, that Hosni Mubarak, the old worn-out globalist vampire, step down so that he can begin supping with pleasure at the throat of the Egyptian people. And like a swarm of carrion crows, of course, the bankers are expanding their forced collapse of this country. But before they can do that, they've got to have all the telescreens up telling you to watch your neighbors. They've got to have the police trained at the internal checkpoints, which they're now expanding. They've got to have their internet kill switch in place. They'll probably partially shut the web down during a fake cyber attack, then turn it right back on to say, see, we're doing this to protect you, just to set that precedent. Google announced, obviously, a week ago that they are going to start filtering out alternative media and blocking it. It's all happening right on time for the dollar devaluation and the confiscation of the pension funds. And when you rebel, don't worry, they'll have a new solution for you, even more tyranny. Only being aware of the complexities of this do we have any chance of stopping them. But going back to, I guess it was Jay in Michigan, who was bringing up IT situations. Go ahead.
All right. So to the point that I was making, and then I've got a quick question for you, which actually wasn't an IT situation. I'm in the medical manufacturing business, formerly owned an automotive manufacturing business in Michigan. And one of the things that we're seeing happening right now that ties into the whole globalization and corporatization of the world is in automotive, all these small shops that were very productive, had an owner-employee relationships, treated their employees well, they would get bought up by these big corporate holding companies. Now I'm beginning to see the same thing happen in the medical sector, too.
Well, that's what I was saying dealing with IT, because these big mega holding companies have unlimited fiat banker bailout money paid for by our tax dollars. It's not free market. It's basically like playing Monopoly against the bank. You can't win.
Well, absolutely. And what happens, I mean, this is happening across industries worldwide, but what the killer is that it's part of the tactic of destroying the middle class. I mean, I got so worked up about this a few years ago. I actually took a run for state rep here in Michigan as an independent libertarian. And, you know, we're trying to find ways to deal with this, and I'm feeling like it's snowballing faster than can be handled through the conventional channels of government. Like running for office, getting in position, and making changes. I just feel like the whole thing's running away. You know, we're still trying to do it, and I've been doing a lot of homework trying to study. You know, you always, when you talk about globalists, you talk about population growth. You know, how is population growth affecting the snowball of this globalist attitude and trying to bring whole populaces under control, you know, near militant control, and trying to come up with a timeline, you know, on how to react to this.
Well, let's be clear, and I appreciate your call, but they're not trying to bring things under control. They're trying to wipe out any country or organization or group of people that are self-sufficient. They don't want things to be nice. They don't want it under control. They want things in a disheveled, collapsing situation so that they can expand their overall police state in the name of cleaning up the crisis, but then they never even fix the crisis because they go into the next phase of an even bigger crisis and then even more control to supposedly fix it, and then another even bigger crisis and more control. That's the method to their madness. It's order out of chaos. We'll be back with more phone calls in 70 seconds in the second hour. Then Webster Tarpley joining us and Max Keiser.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Webster Griffin Tarpley will be with us for about 35 minutes coming up. Then I'll continue with calls throughout the end of the hour. And then at 8 after next hour, Max Keiser will join us on the economy, Egypt, and a lot more. But we're going back to your phone calls right now. And obviously we're talking about what's happening in Egypt. The open announcement that the government is trying to put in an internet kill switch so they can shut down freedom of speech during a police state takeover. It's all accelerating. And the globalists knew when they ordered Egypt to cut the food allotments to their population, close to half of which are living at starvation level without that food, that it would cause this rebellion, and then the globalists give Egypt the savior, the well-known globalist UN minion, Mohammed El-Baradei. Let's talk to Randy in North Carolina, then Lane, Patriot, Brian, Mike, and others. Go ahead, Rudy. Welcome, Rudy. You're on the air.
Yes.
Yes. Would you like to speak?
Over the holidays, I was talking to my family over the holidays, and I was trying to explain to my in-laws how New York is now a police state, and they didn't understand. So as I was talking to them, I came with the idea of why don't people just start writing down how many times they ask for their ID. Every time you turn around, somebody's asking for your ID. Somebody's asking for, you know, more information and more information.
Well, that's so if you're on a pickup list, they can go ahead and scoop you up. Cops all over the world now have license plate readers, and they drive by stolen cars. They drive by and don't do anything about it. It's all about politically tracking you, and now they have TV shows about the police in New York where they show checkpoints on the roads, checkpoints in the malls, checkpoints in the subway with families and little kids having their school bags searched. We're all learning how to be prisoners, and America, one big, giant prison, and all of us basically as slaves, and people think that's freedom. Land of the free, home of the brave is where they put drugs in your water, train your kids to spy on you, and have checkpoints with guys with machine guns everywhere. That's freedom. Having our internet shut off, that's freedom. Having helicopters look through our walls, that's freedom. Having our pension funds taken, having the veterans' death benefits taken, that's freedom. Now, tyranny is private property and happy families and health and freedom of mobility and privacy, you see. So we're entering the 1984 system.
Last thing, Alex, is, you know, what people don't realize what's happening over in Egypt right now, notice how they're saying that people have to defend themselves with shovels and knives. See, what happened is over here in America, we have the opportunity right now to bear our arms. When things go crazy, I think that's the thing that's scaring this government and their leaders to their bones right now, is that, you know, as much as they want to say the criminals got the guns and everything, even if they do, they know that they'll fight back. They know that the people who are legally owning guns fighting back. And if you ever notice, which is something that I've been watching lately, the propaganda that's being perceived right now is that everybody's doing something stupid with a gun. They're never showing anything on TV, the blogs, the internet, where people are legally defending themselves and are glad that they had their firearm. It's always somebody doing something stupid. And I think people need to start looking for positive sites of people defending themselves.
That's right. The media only hypes bad things that happen with guns. But look at the statistics. The vast majority of Americans are now pro-Second Amendment. They get it. And the globalists are in trouble. I appreciate your call, Rudy. Great points. The New World Order is scared because the ghost of our founders, who weren't perfect, but delivered to us that inalienable right. They simply uncovered it and pointed it out that slaves are disarmed, free men and women are armed. And so the ghost of our forefathers and mothers, the spirit of 1776 is still alive and well with us today, and it literally animates our great contest for liberty now. And this is the great contest against tyranny. And that's the big ace in the hole. That's the big wild card. That's our deus ex, is that we have that Second Amendment. And I'm going to speak to that as we go to Tarpley coming up. That was my next point. I'm glad you raised it. We'll get to everybody else as well.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Our guest. We're talking about Egypt. We're going to open the phones up at the bottom of the hour for your questions or comments to myself or Webster. We've got some major U.S. news on healthcare reform with a lot of states and courts battling it. That is all coming up. But Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's a great analyst who joins us routinely, is a doctor of history. He's also an economist and an author. But before I went to Webster, there's one thing we can see illustrated by Egypt more than anything else on the ground, and that's that governments can't and won't protect you, and that a lot of Egyptians had illegal firearms, because there is a total gun ban there for the citizens, to defend their property. And as in the case of New Orleans in 2005 and every other big event worldwide, the police and military have been caught, have been shot, have been beaten, have been arrested by the citizens, robbing jewelry stores, homes. Anytime there's a crisis, government is going to come and try to rob you. Because government basically in the modern age has been set up to rob us. And so the type of agents they recruit are going to do this during a period of anarchy. Now, last week I reserved judgment on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I said the people are hungry. There is a real anger in the Middle East, but also in North Africa, not just in Egypt, but Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, and Yemen, Jordan. The people see the corruption, but the globalists know that this is coming to a head. And so they may want to trigger this now to try to put in their own people instead of groups that actually represent the democratic wishes of the people in these regions. But I said, I've got to hold back. This may be organic. But then over the weekend, the State Department admitted, many others admitted that, yes, the West was funding the former head of the Atomic Energy Agency, Mohammed El-Baradei, that the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to overthrow the other globalist allies, Saudi Arabia, places like Jordan, Yemen. And Webster Tarpley, my first question for you, and then I want to give you the floor on these issues to give us the full spectrum analysis, and you've been proven right again because they now admit they've been financing this whole thing while giving tacit support to their old tired dictator who wasn't following their every order on Malthusian forced abortion and things like that. But is it not the IMF and World Bank in the last 14 months ordering Egypt and other Middle Eastern countries and North African countries to cut the food allotment under austerity with 50% or more of the population on $2 a day, getting this emergency food allotment? The globalists put in the ingredients and created a political atmosphere that they knew would be a powder keg. Then they send in their color revolution, Soros trained, endorsed by Brzezinski yesterday on ABC News with Christina Amanpour, another globalist hack. Right at the key point where they create the ingredients and the atmosphere, they then throw the match into the powder keg, and it appears they're beginning to fail. So, Webster, what is the great game? Why are they doing this?
Well, it is a CIA color revolution with plenty of backup from MI6, and it's a people power coup attempted, but I think now failing and ebbing. Now, the economic background that you correctly point to is that there is large unemployment in Egypt. There's a rising price of fuel, but this is determined by speculators in London, the International Commodity Exchange, ICE. And, of course, there's a rising price of wheat, but that's also speculators at the New York COMEX. In other words, the depression is not caused by Mubarak or any of these other people. The depression comes to you direct from Wall Street. The attempt, obviously, of the Wall Street City of London finance oligarchs is to deflect anger about these situations towards local governments, which are always easier for people to fight because of, you know, their limited understanding of how this stuff works. Now, Mubarak also, of course, has this repressive side to him, right? He's been in power for 30 years. He's been ruling under a state of emergency. The state of emergency, however, began when Anglo-American intelligence assassinated Sadat with the help of this Muslim Brotherhood. Remember, Ayman Zawahiri, the number two to bin Laden in his previous existence was an Egypt activist, right? He's from Egypt, and he was part of the attempt to actually kill Sadat, and then he was able to flee to London and was able to continue his career. So this is the basic thing: is it's a destabilization. There are real issues around it, but destabilization. One of the interviews, I'm fortunate here, I can get the Al Jazeera Putschvision in English, right? And they have been mercilessly hyping the overthrow of Mubarak on this British intelligence line. So they had a guy on there who said, I'm going to go out and demonstrate. I don't care about Mubarak one way or another. I want higher wages. The minimum wage in Egypt is way too low. It needs to be immediately hiked up. And he says, "I want a better deal on the food, right? And the bread price." Now, that I think shows you what a lot of this is. In other words, people are willing to the extent that anybody has turned out at all. And these crowds are very anemic. The people who are doing it, some of them are there simply because they hope to get a little bit better deal. They're not there for hope, change, singing tomorrows, and El Barra Day. I think very, very few people care about this. The main thing I would say that people have to understand is, despite the hype in the U.S. television, this thing is ebbing away. It's failing. The goal of the U.S. and the British was obviously to force a panic on Friday, right? Friday being Friday prayers, right? The holiday in Egypt and much of the Muslim world, of course. It's the equivalent of Sunday in European or North American countries. So they were trying to get to stampede the collapse of the regime on Friday, and they have failed. And if you look then at the number of people they're able to turn out, this has nothing. It's not on the scale of Kiev in 2004. They're way weaker than Kiev, and they have other problems. But just in terms of the numbers, I think you can see it. It starts with 15,000 on the 25th of January, according to various things that I found on the internet. On Friday, that was the day of rage. That was when you had tens of thousands, they claimed. By the Saturday the 29th, they had, I think, 50,000 in this central square of Cairo, this Tahrir. And that seems to have been their high point. By the 30th, it's down to 5,000 at Tahrir. January 31st, today, even Al Jazeera admitted that at 6 o'clock this morning, there were 200 people in Tahrir Square. Now, that's pathetic. In Kiev, in 2004, they had 10, 20,000 young nihilists who were willing to stay out overnight in tents, right, with plenty of drugs and plenty of money.
Well, Webster, I get the point that you're saying you believe it's failing, and Al Jazeera did hype that Mubarak had fled the country last Thursday, right. Friday, Saturday. Even after he was on television, clearly there, they ran with the disinformation that he had fled. But on a larger issue, why do the globalists, and who are the main players here, why do the globalists want to do this to Egypt that has been extremely pliant with them?
Let me just add one last thing just for the irony of it, right? Today, Al Jazeera claims 250,000 in this Tahrir Square, and the Egyptian state television then switched to a continuous feed of Tahrir Square showing, 10,000 if they're very, very lucky, maybe more like 5,000. Now, the why of it. The why is that you have these entrenched dictators in the Arab world, right? You have Bouteflika in Algeria. And some of them are more harsh, less harsh. You have Gaddafi in Libya. You have Mubarak in Egypt. But you've also got the Jordanian monarchy. You've got the Saudi Arabian royal family. And, of course, there's the Assad dynasty in Syria. These are all entrenched, right? Gaddafi's been there for 40 years. Mubarak's been there for 30 years. The Assad dynasty for 30 years. The Saudis have been there since the 1920s. So they're entrenched. They don't follow orders to the degree that a new, unstable parliamentary regime would have to do it. The U.S. is in a desperate situation. They need kamikaze puppets. If you go to Mubarak and say, we want you to become a kamikaze puppet, he'll simply say, no, I won't do it. So what they need is Al-Baradei, he's an agent of the International Crisis Group that I was already denouncing on my website earlier in the week, and also on my Twitter feed that people should tune into, Webster G. Tarpley, if you want to keep up from minute to minute. They want countries above all they can use internationally. What do they want to do? The whole idea of the U.S. in the Middle East is to create an Arab-Sunni front against Iran, its allies, and the Shiite populations in general. It's the obvious way they do it, right? They use war of religion, clash of civilizations, Arab-Sunnis against Persian, Iranian, Shiites, and others, right, including Hezbollah and other, Hamas and other people that tend to go with Iran. You got to have Egypt for that, right? Egypt is 80 million people. This is the big population center of the entire Arab world. You've got to have them in some kind of a militant mode. And with Mubarak, no. Mubarak wants stability. He wants Mubarak. He wants the Mubarak dynasty. He wants his son Gamal to be his successor. He doesn't want radical change. And similarly, right, Gaddafi is not interested in leading some crusade against Iran. So you got to get these people out, and therefore a kamikaze puppet against Iran. You also want people you can use against China and people you can use against Russia. These are the main goals. And I talked about this at the beginning, right, that Carter had tried this 30 years ago, and Obama is the new Carter. And Obama has tried it in Iran. He's failed. The Lebanon attempt of the 2005 has failed. The U.S. is not able to dictate the government of Iraq, and they're also not able to influence the government of Lebanon.
All right, Webster, stay there. When we come back, I want to pull back from all of this and look at the larger geopolitical ramifications, how it all fits together, and what this signifies that the Anglo-American establishment can't take over Lebanon, can't pull the scam with Russia in Georgia, can't hold on to Eastern Europe. These people power revolutions are failing.
We will not be forgotten. We won't be left behind. Our memories live on in mortal mind.
It really is staggering for me intellectually to actually see mainstream U.S. news promoting an internet kill switch. Like, gee, look, Hosni Mubarak's got one. We sure need one. We've got a report from Paul Joseph Watson that just went up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com that is the most detailed yet, breaking down this clear and present danger. And the headline is Kill Switch. Obama administration fears Egypt-style revolt in the U.S. And Watson's got the proof of this in his article. Obviously, I want to make this the number one search term, Obama kill switch. Let's make Obama kill switch the number one search term today. Let's do it again, folks, so people understand the threat against the internet. Obama kill switch. The headline is Kill Switch. Obama administration fears Egypt-style revolt in U.S. We've got to get attention on the Obama kill switch now. A lot of conservatives are upset by this. But remember, a Republican front man is going to have this as well soon. and they're putting the cybersecurity grid in place. Webster, I wanted to get into that with you, but we'll cover that in a moment. Finishing up with why they've done this, it is a bold move. It does smack of desperation. Where does Israel stand? Because they've been praising Mubarak, and Haaretz and others are saying Obama will go down as the president who lost Egypt. Is that more of just Israel on the surface attempting to praise Mubarak, knowing that that'll backfire and then cause rebellion against him? Or where does Israel stand in all this?
The public posture of the Israelis is that they support Mubarak. Netanyahu made a statement saying, we urge everybody to be nice to Mubarak and leave him in power. And it's obvious at that level what they're responding to, right? If you had chaos in Egypt, suppose the government, the whole regime, which was founded by Nasser in 1952, that goes down and you have chaos, right, and you've had a taste of it, then who is there? There's the army and then there's the Muslim Brotherhood. I would stress, the Muslim Brotherhood is a British intelligence creation from 1926.
That's admitted. And by the way, the Muslim Brotherhood is in the Associated Press saying, we're going to bring down Saudi Arabia, we're going to bring down Jordan, and that was my next issue here. But finish up there, Webster. Right. This is such a powder keg. Why? What do you think the Saudi Arabians and others are doing, realizing that the globalists are trying to bring them down?
Well, just step by step, right? The Muslim Brotherhood, again, is this British intelligence creation in the years of Nasser. Now, Nasser had many, many positive features. Nasser was building infrastructure on a tremendous scale. That Aswan High Dam is an example of the infrastructure that builds a nation. Otherwise, they would be having floods. Now they've got flood control. They've got hydroelectric. They've got a whole series of advantages, right? The Nile, of course, being the center of the country. In terms of the awareness now. There's a very interesting statement from Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, and he says, I've been on the telephone with Colonel Gaddafi of Libya and with President Assad of Syria, and they briefed me on the U.S. meddling in Egypt. And he says, I find this sickening. I find it shameful that they betray their ally. And then he adds, that's how the devil pays you. So now all the U.S. client states in the Middle East have to wonder, what good is an alliance with the U.S.? It's not worth anything, and that's going to, I think, increase the ability of Saudi Arabia. We know that there was an attempt by Bandar, right? Prince Bandar wanted to open to Russia in a significant way, and then that seemed to have been shut down. I would look for people in Algeria, people in Saudi Arabia, you know, to get on the phone, and indeed Mubarak, right? If I were Mubarak, I'd be on the phone with Putin. I'd be on the phone with who? In China, I'd be on the phone.
So this is a desperate gamut, but so I go back to that, as you started to allude to. What is Jordan thinking? What is Saudi Arabia thinking when the globalist-run Muslim Brotherhood, on record, who our media uses to take our liberties away in the name of the threat, it's a multi-faced coin or a Swiss Army knife they use for every crisis. This proto Al Qaeda. They've got proto Al Qaeda threatening all these globalist/Israeli allies. I mean, that's got to be a wake up call to them, especially if this fails in Egypt.
Yes, and for Egypt especially, the big vulnerability of Egypt is wheat. They are dependent on imported food, in particular the question of bread. Now they have a system which is very good, which is a system of subsidies for the bread price. They keep bread cheap as a means of maintaining social and governmental stability. Obviously now, Wall Street has been beating up the world price of wheat. There's been a huge upward spike in the bread price.
Stay there. And then they're following the Twitter and the social networks. They know the Egyptians are ripe to rebel because they've got empty bellies. In comes El Baradi from the UN. Oh, I will save you all. I mean, how obvious is this? We'll be right back, Webster Tarpley. I just can't believe how treacherous this is, though. We're back live, ladies and gentlemen. We're going back to Webster Griffin Tarpley and then your phone calls on this issue. Straight ahead, Max Keiser will be joining us. We have not taken the special down yet, but it's going to be taken down here in the next few days. If you want to get 5+ months free at prisonplanet.tv, where all of my films are posted, where my expanded extras from the documentaries are posted, my book, Paul Watson's book, the higher quality commercial-free audio podcast, the video archives of this show, the live streams, video streams of this transmission, and your support of PrisonPlanet.tv also makes so much of what we do here possible. That special is ending in the next few days, just as soon as we get the specials pulled down. But I'm going to give that directive today, so it'll be down here in the next few days. If you want to get the 5 months free, take action on that front today. Continuing with the sponsors that have made this broadcast possible, one of them is eFoodsDirect.com. The UN said in 1996 in Beijing at the UN Food Summit that they would use food as a weapon. Dr. Henry Kissinger wrote about that in 73 in the State Department Memorandum 200. The point is, globalists want you dependent. They want you poor. And I believe in having high-quality storable foods and firearms so you can take care of yourself and your family. And the place to get the food is eFoodsDirect.com, or give them a call, 800-409-5633. They're running a winter special right now where you can get 20% off when you tell them Alex Jones sent you at 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Also, there's another great special running at Diamond Gusset Jeans. You can get the free music CD and Made in America style t-shirts. They're made in America, but the shirts are about buying made in America. And you can go to gusset.com/America. It's made in America apparel, all of it. The fabric, the putting it together, it's a very extremely quality made. gusset.com/America, gusset.com/America. Check them out. They got a lot of specials there on that page, gusset.com/America. Okay, continuing here. Webster, you know, I'm really having trouble dealing with this because if you go back to last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I knew that WikiLeaks was connected to Tunisia. I knew that was a staged event. It was admitted by the West it was. But then I looked at Mubarak, this servant, who did everything he was told, the torture centers, the black sites, Westerners being flown in to be tortured there, Israel worshiping him, Netanyahu saying what buddies they are, the people there revolting against him, seeing him as a U.S./Israel puppet, and then to do this to him, if they were unsuccessful, it just shows that there's no honor among these people, even amongst their own thieves and dictators. But then they came out and bragged that El Baradei was their man from the UN, and that they had engineered this, and they were actually proud of it. I mean, it does smack of desperate actions, and that is really scary to know that they're really trying to overthrow and destabilize Saudi Arabia. I mean, what does Jordan think of this? To now have the Muslim Brotherhood, openly run by the West, charging around, threatening people. I mean, are they trying to set off World War III here, Webster?
Well, I think it's a phase change of world history. If the destabilization of Egypt had succeeded, and I don't think it will at this point, this would have been the triumph of the empire, the crushing of the nation state everywhere, starting with the Arab world, a huge world hysteria, the destruction of many, many nations, and the emergence of an overarching world empire in the form of the international.
Because they would trigger these rebellions everywhere and then roll in with their revolutionaries, and globalist flags would be hauled up in even more nations.
Right, and that's the issue. Now, I don't think this will happen now, at least not in that form. It's a huge defeat for the U.S. because they came out, and as Chavez and Gaddafi and Assad have all noted, they essentially were out there shooting the works for destabilization of Egypt, right? It's a va-banque, right? A double or nothing play, right?
A Hail Mary.
The ranch on destabilization.
A Hail Mary.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't think it's working. It's running out of steam. They have no color. They have no slogan. They have no leader. They have no TV. They have no internet. The police and the army remain loyal. They don't have working people with them because these people are not credible, right?
And now Mubarak has said this is a foreign conspiracy.
Yes, right. And Ebarade jets in from his apartment in Vienna, where he spends his time, with his money from the Soros-Brzezinski International Crisis Group, right, who were part of this, part of the action in Tunisia, and this is simply not credible. Now, Moody's today has downgraded Egypt. Now, this is the Wall Street attack. If you look at the internal arrangements in Egypt, what does Wall Street care about in a place like Egypt? Obviously, they want to attack the bread subsidy, because this will lead to tremendous instability. When the U.S. says they want to, you know, revise or review the aid posture, right, the $1.5 billion or $3 billion, depending on how you count it, that Egypt gets every year. At the heart of this is money to buy food on the world market.
And by the way, none of this is your opinion. In the IMF, World Bank, Ex-Im Bank documents we've gotten off and on the last 30 years, the biggest data dump, 2002, they admit they go in to third world countries and say, we'll give you loans, but get rid of subsidies. And behind the scenes, they're rubbing their hands together going, get our takeover revolution ready. We'll really loot them now. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're trying to set the atmosphere. They're trying to set the table for this, clearly trying to destabilize the Middle East.
Right. A lot of people in this demonstration are the rich elitists of Cairo North. In other words, the comfortable middle class and up, people who have the internet and who care about Twitter and the rest of this stuff. When they say economic reform, that generally means destroy the subsidies, free market, right? Free market, free trade, globalization, the reign of international finance capital and all the rest of it. The response from Mubarak to all this, and let me just say, Moody's says the reason they're downgrading Egypt's debt is that they're afraid that Mubarak will increase social expenditure, have a higher minimum wage, increase the food subsidies, this sort of thing, and they don't want this. Therefore, they want to have a speculative run on the Egyptian pound and on Egyptian government debt. So he's going to have to respond with protectionist measures of his own. The obvious thing for Mubarak to do is raise the minimum wage, get the price of bread and cooking oil and fuel down, kick out the International Monetary Fund, declare a debt moratorium, and then what are the resources of Egypt? Well, you got the Nile. Okay, the Aswan High Dam is there. Give the Nile the full Tennessee Valley Authority treatment. What else do you have? The Suez Canal. Suez Canal still has 8% of world trade. Why not widen it? Why not make that 10%, 15%, collect some tolls, and get the people working? Because the other big thing, of course, is unemployment. Well, we have, you know, pretty good. We have about 22, 23% unemployment here in reality. Spain has 20%. We just saw the Spanish foreign minister at the European Union meeting saying, oh, we stand with the people in the streets. Yeah,
all right.
As long as it's...
Before we get into the wider field, Webster, I want to go back to this area. Is this not a fleeing forward? The globalists knew that there might have been an actual democratic move against Mubarak, their old puppet, so they went ahead and triggered this now.
I don't see any organized opposition. As I say, the one group that stands out is this April 6th, and this is basically a group of NATO agents, right? They've taken over the same paraphernalia as the CIA was using in Belgrade in Serbia 11 years ago now. So I don't see any real movement. There is no organized force in a country like this. The policy alternative would almost have to emerge from inside the ruling party. Somebody interested in actual economic reform, which would not mean IMF, World Bank, Wall Street.
Webster, I want to go to some phone calls here on this subject, as I promised to. But before we do that briefly, give us your synopsis of what you believe is going to play out, what the general ramifications of this are going to be in the Middle East, in North Africa, into the rest of the Mediterranean, and then other movements you see around the world with the Soros-run gang calling for $100 trillion in additional banker bailouts to then leverage out to 59.9% credit card bills. for the general public. What do you see happening when Ireland has this election, the move towards the EU falling apart? I mean, this is a desperate move, and just studying this, I see a lot of evidence that the New World Order is actually in deep trouble.
Well, I would say just on Egypt specifically, right? Today, the demonstrators, I call them the nihilists because I think that's what they are. Today, the demonstrators have called for a general strike. Now, they don't talk about this too much. The banks and other businesses are closed, but that was already announced during the weekend, and it's just part of the sort of attempt to cool down Cairo. So I don't know. They seem to be calling also for another general strike tomorrow. And above all, tomorrow they say they want to have a million-man march. Well, we will see. And remember, watch out for those camera angles, right? If they're going to claim a million-man march, we want to see the whole thing. We want to see an oceanic crowd. I don't think you're going to see it, not in this form. The other thing is that one of these groups has put out an ultimatum to the Egyptian army saying, we want to see which side you're on. Well, that sounds like something pretty desperate. Now, the awareness of the color revolution, of the techniques of this thing, I think has grown to the point where it's going to be increasingly harder to have more color revolutions, CIA, people power coups, postmodern putches in these other countries, Algeria, big oil producer, Syria, very, very critical place, Russian naval base there, Jordan, always an important country, so forth. Libya, also oil. I think it's going to be harder and harder for the Anglo-American intelligence to organize this kind of thing in those countries. Now, that would obviously mean then a growth of other influence, Chinese, Russian, Brazilian, and perhaps also more independence on the part of countries like Turkey, which have been chafing.
And we're already seeing that. Let me interject this. Again, last week, I know the Egyptians have reasons to be angry. I don't like Mubarak. But I, even last week, couldn't believe that the West, that these banking interests are this ruthless and this backstabbing to one of their own henchmen. But now, Tarpley, you're proven right again. It's completely admitted that they're doing this. And clearly, they didn't just go after Egypt because it's one of the most populous in the region, but because it was one of the only countries that they've got their minions in. So that they could try to trigger a domino to fall. Could it be it was the only domino that they really thought that they could push over? And if it does fall over, will that signify the fall of Saudi Arabia, the fall of Jordan? I mean, those countries have got to be reassessing their deals they've made with the central bankers.
Yes, in the meantime, look at what happened in Sudan. The Anglo-Americans have been trying to bust up Sudan for decades, and they claim now that they've succeeded with this referendum, that the southern Sudan will secede from the north. I don't know what the reality is on the ground, but these are the reports, that the referendum in favor of independence has won. It's unofficial, but there it is. This is, of course, that has nothing to do with human rights. It's because there's oil in the south, and the central government in Khartoum had been making deals with China. And, of course, the whole U.S. posture is use the human rights story to kick the Chinese out. Use any story. Use Al-Qaeda. Use anything you can to kick the Chinese out. So, therefore, if Egypt falls, this would essentially mean a domino tsunami of destabilizations across North Africa, the Arab world, far beyond. It would probably spell the end of Pakistan as a centralized country. We begin to reach into Iraq, into Iran, right? Because the Bernard Lewis plan, as it's called, foresees the Balkanizations, the carving of all of these places, right? Three Iraqs, five or six Irans, Lebanon carved, Egypt gets carved, Sudan being carved.
So they're going for that Balkanization along religious and racial lines, but as you said, it's not going well for them anywhere. What does this signify, that the banking empire using the U.S., Israel, England, and others as muscle is finally stuck in the mud like Napoleon in Russia or Hitler in Russia or Barbarossa?
Something like this. In other words, the world historical significance of this for me is it's important for the Anglo-American imperialists to be defeated in the attempt to overthrow this government. It's just that simple. It's better for the world for the moment, if this government stays the way it is, the status quo is better than what the Anglo-Americans would be offering.
And so they've got one more big, desperate push with this million people to overthrow the government tomorrow.
Yes, and it seems to me that they just don't have it. I mean, I'm still looking at this Egyptian state television. Al Jazeera doesn't know what to do. Because
They've had their reporters arrested, which certainly shows that the honeymoon is over and that people are openly saying what Al Jazeera is, British intel.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's been raving, foaming, unbelievable propaganda, right? And these completely fake things that Mubarak went to Egypt, that Kamal Mubarak is now in London, that they're all fleeing, right, to try to develop some hype. The general idea, though, is that the influence of China, Russia would increase in the Middle East, increase up to a point. In other words, the idea would be to have some situation where if a country didn't like the deal they were getting from the U.S., they could say, well, if you're really going to be this unreasonable, we're going to try the Chinese or the Russians or the Brazilians or the Venezuelans or somebody else. This generally leads to a more stable world situation.
Balance of power.
Nasser was able to build the Aswan High Dam because he said to the U.S., will you help me build it? And John Foster Dulles said no. And then he said, well, I'll get the Soviets to do it. And they brought in an Italian engineering company. And they built it. So that's how you can get somewhere. So I think it's the unipolar world is beginning to crumble in some pretty key places, the Middle East obviously being about as key as you can. Look, in Iraq, the U.S. wanted Alawi, the puppet of the U.S., but they got Maliki, who's much more pro-Iranian. The government in Lebanon is not a U.S. puppet, but Hezbollah-influenced. And if you look back then to Iran in the summer of 2009, that was supposed to be the Twitter revolution. It failed. If the one in Egypt fails, it means that the entire destabilization, which we've had since, you know, Marcos in the Philippines in the mid-'80s, since the Shah was overthrown, because that's what that was, too. That started and really all the way through was promoted by the U.S., by Carter and Brzezinski.
Yeah, and a lot of these backfire, then we get the Islamic Revolution, but it's admitted our government overthrew the Shah because he wanted to actually develop the country.
And they wanted the Islamic Revolution. This was the whole point, that if you get a certain kind of Islamic government, they shut down the nuclear program, which was what was done in 78, 79.
So they have a Stone Age policy for the world, including here with their social Darwinistic Malthusian eugenics line. We're going to come back for two segments and take calls with Webster Tarpley, Joe, Patriot Mike, Josh, and Lynn. Man, I could talk to Tarpley for 10 hours. We'll definitely have him back up soon to talk about what's happening domestically in this country. In 30 seconds, before we go to calls, Tarpley, what do you make of all the open announcements that, oh, the government's going to be changing the internet, Google's going to be censoring alternative media for your own good, the FCC is going to take over the internet, and there is a kill switch for your own safety. I mean, are they really getting ready for full economic implosion?
It's perfectly possible. Now, obviously, one of the things Mubarak did was cutting off the internet, and that, for his purposes, that seems to have been effective. But, of course, these are like weapons, right? They're in whose hands are they? The U.S. is preparing these things anyway, but now that that's been done against them, then they have an occasion to talk about it, right, to popularize this idea. So, obviously, we don't want that here.
But, Webster, when you say U.S., you mean the banking cartel that's captured it?
Yes, the people who control the Obama regime, right, and this is Wall Street, as we've known. Obama's been a Wall Street puppet from the very beginning, and, of course, large parts of the Republican Party are equally controlled by the Wall Street people. So this is obviously a danger. As long as you have the world descending into a depression, you're going to have these pressures towards authoritarian government, and we have to resist these. One of the things you see from Egypt is that the way to avoid this is to have some kind of political organization, and at least have people understanding what they need to do so that they're not simply sitting ducks.
Exactly, and that's what I try to do here is to get people aware of how the world really works so they can recognize it when they see it. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Joe. Thanks for holding.
Good afternoon there, gentlemen. I've been paying attention to the this like all weekend, and I see a ray of like hope and for the people and fear for the governments. The people, when they were rioting, the military, they were coming out and they were actually embracing the people, and they were like, we don't want to do this. It's what we're ordered to do. We're not going to hurt you. And it was like, Alex, when you talk a lot about, will our military martial law in this country ever happen? Would the military ever be able to go against the people? And I think the United States, the people here are watching very closely to see how the military are interacting with the people to see if they will.
Well, that is true, but the globalists would here have somebody shoot some of the military to then elicit them to attack the crown. That's where false flags and staged events come in, and there's some evidence in the Egyptian papers that indeed somebody's trying to get the military and the people fighting to enrage the crowds even more, that provocateurs controlled by the West or by Mubarak are running around sabotaging things. Tarpley, what's your view on what Joe just brought up?
The difference is that the Egyptian army is a conscript army. It's based on a draft, and therefore it's not a bunch of professional killers. It's a bunch of draftees. So they're obviously not interested in shooting at the crowds, and why should they? Because it has very seldom come to such a point. In other words, the crowds have never been big enough or threatening enough. The exception is a group of gunmen tried to attack the Interior Ministry. That would be the Department of Justice, FBI, in our terms. And there was a gun battle, but that seems to have been done by the police. The army leadership is loyal to Mubarak. He's a military guy himself. He's an Air Force pilot. The new vice president is an Air Force pilot. So the army is now putting up these jersey walls around the main squares. They've taken a bunch of vehicles that have been burned, and they've made those into sort of barricades. So the army seems to be, quietly, effectively calming things down. Just the fact that all these tanks came into the square seems to have had a calming effect on everybody. So fine. So
and our media spun it that the jets were there to menace the people, but the way that the Egyptian government was like, no, this is a symbol of unity, and the crowds cheered it. So a lot of strange dynamics. Joe, excellent point. I hope our military would behave like the Egyptian military, but who knows? We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I've got a bunch of economic news, healthcare news, credit card rates going up to 59.9% news, Obama giving waivers now to members of Congress from the healthcare plan. That's all coming up. We're going to have Max Kaiser on with us. We'll continue with your calls for those that are patiently holding. But Patriot Poet in Michigan, you're on the air with Tarpley. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Jones, Mr. Tarpley. How are you today?
We're good. What's on your mind there, Patriot?
Okay. As far as the mass media, I noticed I watch CNN in the mornings. I don't watch any television news, per se.
But you watch CNN, what'd they say?
Well, they've been really pushing the visuals of the protesters burning things down, carrying guns, and, showing how radical the protesters are. And somehow, I think this is a way of trying to push their propaganda on the American people as in reference, could this happen here? And maybe in a roundabout way, it's a way of keeping the fear factor running at full capacity. And in regards to the U.S., my question is, if they take away all the guns from legal, lawful, compliant gun owners, the only people that will have guns are the gangs, the drug dealers, the pimps, and the thieves.
No, I hear you, and I appreciate your call. It's a great point. Webster, how is the United States different because of the record ownership of guns for the establishment if they want to try some type of accelerated oppression or martial law scenario, which we know they've been preparing for? How will that wild card enter into things?
I'm not able to predict. I would just say to people that the possession of guns is fine, right? But the status quo, I suppose, is about right. But the idea that having a gun is a substitute for political action, this is a big mistake.
No, no, I agree. It becomes a political salve or a pillow where people don't go get involved because they can have their gun.
Stay home with your gun. No, that won't do it. Look, just in terms of the merit of the question, which I think is real, there's a lot of violence in this stuff, right? If you burn a bank in Greece, you're a war criminal. But if you burn down the Egyptian party headquarters, you're a hero of democracy. They burned the party headquarters. They burned a very large building. I'm not sure what it is, but it's about a 15-story fairly modern building, looks like, you know, sort of concrete on the outside, all burned down. Lots of police stations burned down by these demonstrators, right? The vandalism at the Cairo Museum.
No, they're targeting the infrastructure for total takeover, and now the globalists admit. Shouldn't George Soros, he's been convicted in other countries, he's trying to subvert freedom in this country, he poses as a human rights activist. Isn't it time for Soros and a bunch of those Davos crooks to be arrested, and along what lines, Tarpley?
Hey, how about those Republicans, if they're worth anything, right? Our great heroes from the Tea Party who are now in the Congress. Why don't we get some hearings and drag in Soros and make him tell what he does, right? Because this example with El Baradei, this is a very good example. There are a lot of Republicans who don't like this international crisis group. The way they see it is they think that the international crisis group is anti-Israel. I don't think this is true. There's this guy Robert Malley, for example, right? The main thing is that these people go in there in order to get anywhere in the Arab world. You got to put up an anti-Israeli facade, and then they begin to destabilize the countries. So why don't some of these Republicans invite Soros to testify in his international activities? Is he violating the Logan Act, where you're making...
Yeah, but it's illegal on so many fronts to be funding private revolutions all over the world. I mean, it's illegal what Soros does.
Yes, I think it may well be. So that would be interesting to look into. But I think the point is that I don't see any attempt of the U.S. media to hype the violence, the arson, and the vandalism. I see the opposite. They try to tone that down. Compared to Greece, where one bank burns and it's the end of the world.
Well, there's a lot of evidence that was staged. Tarpley, always amazing having you. Tarpley.net. Our websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Please stand by to join us later in the week, Tarpley, as things unfold. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with Max Kaiser. Transmission continues. Your phone calls and a blitz of news straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
One big thing we've learned from the crisis in Egypt is the government can't and won't protect you. Same thing during Katrina, same thing during these snowstorms. It's not just that the government doesn't want to protect you, which it doesn't in most cases, wants to feed off of you. It's that they can't protect you, and we need to be self-sufficient and take care of ourselves. The Washington Times, Fox News, and others are reporting that members of Congress, government bureaucrats, and many others are now being given waivers from Obamacare. You know, McDonald's and hundreds of other companies, they don't have to get health care for their employees, but your company does. That is such an incredible form of discrimination. They've got us so trained to look for discrimination by whites against blacks or blacks against whites or other groups against each other that when we see government coming in and doing what tyrannical governments always do, and giving special favors to their friends, erecting laws to shut down their competition. I mean, this is outrageous. And Congress is now moving for hearings along these lines. But the Republicans, a lot of their leadership likes this new power as well. And so the question is, will they allow this to continue? Because it is just unspeakably illegal on every front. I mean, this is mafia, big Chicago, you know, machine-type politics that is going on right now. Continuing with some of the news that I've got here in front of me today. U.S. judge may escalate battle over health care reform. Judge would be second to rule law unconstitutional. And now I saw a map today. More than 40 states have got lawsuits filed. They've got their attorney generals moving against it. The problem is Congress wouldn't pass the carbon tax last year. And so the EPA came into Texas, the biggest power producer in the U.S., of the 50 states, and unilaterally, with no law behind them, seized control of the power plant's regulatory process and said, we're going to put these draconian controls on you, even if we don't ever have a law backing it up. Just incredible. So U.S. judge may escalate battle over health care reform. And the question is, will Obama ignore Congress? Will he ignore the courts? Will he just do whatever he wants? Judge would be second to rule law unconstitutional. A Florida judge could on Monday become the second U.S. judge to declare President Barack Obama's health care reform law unconstitutional in the biggest legal challenge yet to the federal authority to enact the law. The judge, Roger Vinson, of the U.S. District Court of Pensacola, Florida, was expected to rule on a lawsuit brought by governors and attorney generals from 26 U.S. states, almost all of whom are Republicans. Obama is a Democrat. The plaintiffs represent more than half the U.S. states, so the Pensacola case has more prominence than some two dozen lawsuits filed in federal courts over the health care law. So very serious situation there. Now, joining us from France is the inventor of the Hollywood Stock Exchange system, the host of multiple international TV and radio shows. In fact, he's got a Saturday morning show here on Genesis, is Max Keiser. And I want to get into the Davos Forum calling for $100 trillion in additional taxpayer money that they call liquidity or credit, which they then loan back to us at loan sharking rates. CNN is reporting Freudian problem. I wish it was only 49.9, 59.9% credit card cost. And to boil this down, trillions of dollars are pumped into private banks in the name of getting the economy started, backed by taxpayers. They then loan it to governments, corporations, and individuals from between 5% and 59.9%. Free money made up out of nothing. And that's why they want to shut industry down. That's why they want this gulag casino economy that Max Keiser talks so much about. And it's funny because Max, for at least 3 years on this show, has talked about their model of a casino economy. And now we see the articles today calling for casinos as our new industry nationwide, funded with taxpayer money. And here's a headline: the Facebook Nation unveils its own currency. So these digital currencies now that are basically a new form of slavery that trick you into being involved in it when it isn't even enough to, you know, buy a soda pop with every day. We're going to discuss the entire geopolitical events that are happening and get Max Keiser's take on what's happening in the Middle East and North Africa as well. Max, good to have you here with us today.
Hey, Alex. Great to be here. How's it going, buddy?
I just threw out a little constellation of different issues there. What's most important on your plate, and what do you want to get into first?
Well, yeah, the Davos, as you've been talking about on your show this week, before the Davos started, they floated this trial balloon of increasing global credit by $100 trillion. And this plays into what I've been talking about on the show for a while, because on your show, you get a lot of people on, and they talk about, is there going to be inflation or deflation? And what I've said is that there's going to be a new global currency. The U.S. dollar and other currencies will be absorbed by the new currency, so it won't be inflation, deflation as such, because the value, the purchasing value of your new unit that you will get and when you swap your dollar will be roughly the same. However, it does mean that the U.S. loses its sovereignty because you're exchanging your dollars for a global currency. So before Davos, they openly said that they want to float $100 trillion worth of this new currency. This would mean that all of the bad debts that can't be paid, they securitize them, as they've done before. They create a new package, and they roll them. They roll them up into a new debt-based package that's denominated in a new currency. So it's imagine, you know, in America, for example, the whole problem in the real estate market is that they took a mortgage, then they took a lot of mortgages, and they created a mortgage-backed security, and then they rolled that up into a derivatives contract, and then that started the chain reaction of monetary meltdown in the U.S.
And so the global bankers are all making record profits, the economy's in free fall, and now they openly announce the new global SDR backed up by taxpayer money, and so the bankers get all the power out of it. We've got to stoop and bow and kiss their ring, and they're the crooks that engineered the whole thing.
Yeah, this does make an enormous amount of money for these bankers. You know, they get a 1% or 2% fee on a $100 trillion piece of business. You know, this is how the banks, of course, make money. The reason why there are so many derivatives in the system and why the debts are so extraordinary is because bankers get paid a percentage on that debt. It's very similar, if you will, to the accounting you see in Hollywood. A lot of people ask, what's the point of making a $100 or $200 or $250 million movie? The point is that the producers get paid a fee not on how well a movie does, but on how well the budget is, how big the budget is. So there's always this push toward bigger budgets and stars getting bigger salaries because they get paid a fee based on the budget. Now, similarly, on Wall Street, they get paid not on performance. They don't get paid on whether they make money or lose money or act in a fiduciary capacity. They get paid on the size of the debt that they can roll forward. And as all of the current debt collapsed because the entire facade is one big Bernie Madoff-like Ponzi scheme, in order to keep this Ponzi scheme rolling, they have to create a whole new layer. And that layer will be this global currency. And they're going to roll these, and they said in Davos, it's a $100 trillion piece of business. The GDP of America is roughly $14 trillion. The total GDP of the world is about $60 trillion. There you have your numbers. So they say, well, here's $100 trillion worth of this new global currency. We're going to roll the yen, the euro, the dollar, Canadian dollar, peso, and a few more of these currencies into this new global currency to avert catastrophe. And they'll use the same method they used in 2008 to get that $750 billion in the pockets of Wall Street. They sent Hank Paulson in front of Congress, and they threatened to collapse the economy when they balked. Then his traders at Goldman Sachs the next day staged a financial terrorist attack. They crashed the market. Then he went back in front of Congress, and they gave him his money. So this is going to be the same deal.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if they want $100 trillion backed up by taxpayer money, which they will then loan back to credit card holders, governments, the same bankers now are lowering countries, counties, cities, states' credit rating, so they have to borrow the fiat money from the bankers for even more so the bankers get real assets. But the bankers are also able to fractionally reserve, leverage the $100 trillion at least 10 times out to $1 quadrillion or $1,000 trillion, and that's even before they start pyramiding the debt with derivatives. So this $100 trillion could potentially be how many thousands of trillions?
Well, you're right. It's a $1,000 trillion or a quadrillion. But we already have that quadrillion number right now. As you know, the notional value of derivatives transactions, according to the Bank of International Settlements last year, was roughly $600 trillion, almost a quadrillion right there. So you're absolutely right. They would need $100 trillion in fresh meat, you know, fresh currency that they can use to roll up as this massive re-architecture of the global economy. And it would result in them controlling on the back end a quadrillion worth of currency.
Oh, stay there. And, of course, everyone will kill their own family for the money. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, we're doing a Google search term today, and I salute you for being involved in it. It's having a huge effect. You just go to Google, enter this term in over and over again, Obama kill switch, and that will lead them not just to our article, but many other articles breaking this down. Obama kill switch. Administration fears Egypt-style revolt in U.S. That's our article up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I want to get into kill switches with Max Keiser here in a moment. But Max, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not the inventor of a stock exchange, you know, predictive system like you are. But I've studied history. I know what really destroyed Rome was currency devaluation, what destroyed the Weimar Republic, Germany, what's destroyed economically Zimbabwe. I mean, I understand basic facts of economics, and the globalists know this. And I've read their white papers that are public. They want a tyrannical world government. They want one-child policies. They want all this tyranny. They want to make us debt slaves. They're setting up their world government. Still, yuppies giggle because they were preconditioned that that didn't exist. I mean, at a certain point, we've just got to get the word out and identify these Ken Lay, Bernie Madoff types and call for them to be brought to justice. They've sold derivatives. They've sold counterfeit. They are swindlers that make Ponzi look like an angel. And it's either us or them. They're clearly financing terrorists as a pretext to take our liberties. Clearly, we've got to bring them to justice for buying off our politicians, for engaging in economic espionage. It's either us or them. What is the state of the world right now? How are the globalists doing? Because it looks like they're having some problems as they try to eat the elephant of the once free and independent planet. And where do you see all this basically ending up? And what do all of us, you know, out there listening need to do to really get aggressive and ensure that as things implode further, folks know who to blame? Because these bankers who've engineered this on record are spreading their filthy wings over us, telling us that they're a mama chicken, you know, wanting to keep us safe, when in reality they're buzzards, they're vultures, they're carrion eaters.
Well, you know, you had on your site a fantastic video, and I watched the whole thing. Was "Welcome to the Reservation" by I guess it was Russell Means.
Yes,
and this is an important video to watch because this is the agenda. It is effectively put people onto the new reservation, and as we know, the homelessness in America is skyrocketing. And once these people fall off the grid, they become homeless. They also become forgotten. And the reason you don't hear about the problems is because these people are on the margins. They're living in tent cities, and they're just worried day-to-day survival. And this is the new reservation. And the same people who created the first reservations, they rolled across America, and they put forth a business model that was not very sustainable. They ran out of space in America. They ran out of space in other countries. So they're coming back to America, and they're rolling back through again. And anybody who's middle class or lower class is being essentially disenfranchised and put on reservations, or they end up in the prison system, or they end up in what we call the casino gulag system. And what will be left is more for the people who are doing this. And the problem is that for those to get a good critical mass of resistance, it's difficult because every time people are pushed out of the out of the system and off the grid, they end up kind of, you know, off the grid, you know, and it becomes difficult to rally them, and then their whole life becomes one of surviving for existence. You know, the founding fathers of the United States, they were not people living hand to mouth. They were the yuppies of that century who became who thought that they could create a better country, and they did.
Instead of having, you know, a cool hairstyle, you know, to show how cool they were, they started a country. And now our heroes are basketball players and tattoo artists and people that act cool instead of being cool and actually knowing how the world works and being involved. And I'm not bashing folks that have wear cowboy hats or have green hair or have tattoos. I don't care. The point is, we've been taught that that's how you rebel. No, you rebel by being informed and taking your country back. And for me, Max, it's how criminal the banks are. It's how outrageously obvious it is. And still, I just hear the ignorance out there on the streets.
Okay, well, look at what's happening. Bring it on a global basis here, because we've often said on your show that it's a global thing. And so look what's happening in Cairo and Egypt. Now, at the root of these problems, particularly in Egypt, it's the price of food has recently skyrocketed because of these bankers, because of what they've been doing in manipulating these food prices.
I'll tell you what, Max, stay there. I want to get into Cairo next. That was my next issue. And strangely enough, a top banker agrees with you. Go a little bit into overdrive with him as well today. We are in an information war. You are fighters on the front lines, not behind us, but right beside us. And this move towards open authoritarianism, selling it as if it's new and cool, same thing happened in the 30s with Mussolini and Hitler, is really being pushed right now by the globalists. And they drive a really sickening bargain. Give up all your liberty, and in exchange, we'll give you more tyranny. And then give up even more liberty, and we'll give you more tyranny. It's time to say V for victory against the New World Order. And our operation, the answer to 1984 is 1776, has been incredibly successful. Just massive, massive, thousands and thousands of emails concerning it. People all over the office know folks that are seeing it being hung up all over the country and here in Austin, Texas. And it's getting people to start questioning, to start thinking about the New World Order. It's getting people to start looking into, you know, resistance to the police state. It's getting folks to understand there's real solidarity going on out there dealing with the New World Order, and that there is a threat to our freedoms outside of the pap and garbage put out on national television. We are selling a V for Victory t-shirt that'll help get the word out and also support our broadcast. They're very popular. We're going to have them for a limited time. They're available at Infowars.com. It says V, you are the resistance. Very handsome shirts. We also have the Draft Ron Paul 2012 shirts to get that going. All available at Infowars.com on the online video bookstore shopping cart. You can also call toll free to get it, and that's 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. And we're also doing the number one Google search term today, and that's Obama kill switch, three words. Going back to Max Keiser, Max, you were starting to get into the Cairo situation and headline, former managing director of Goldman Sachs, Egyptians, Greeks, Tunisians protest against the pillaging of their economies. And it goes on to report here that the Goldman Sachs head of the International Analytics Group, Bear Stearns, is reporting that this is being caused by the big central banks driving down the value of the dollar and hence making it harder for Egyptians to buy food.
Yeah, well, you know, the price of food in Cairo is rising, and people only have 2 or 3 days left of food, and the crisis really becomes one of starvation. And this is playing out all over North America. And, you know, the reason the price of food is going higher is not because demand suddenly increased by 100% in the last year or two. That's not the case at all. The reason the prices are moving up is because the supply of easy money, the supply of cheap money, as a direct consequence of what happened in 2008, we talked about it, when When Hank Paulson went in front of Congress, they got $750 billion. That $750 billion, it ended up being circulated not in the U.S. economy, because if it did, we would have seen job growth and we would have seen real estate prices moving higher, but we haven't. So where did it go? It went into the speculative global speculators' pockets, who are using it to bid up the price of agricultural products like food. And as a result, the people who authorized that huge check back in 2008 have a direct relationship on this starvation crisis happening all across northern Africa. And it also has a direct bearing on the catastrophe in the economies of Ireland and Greece. So it's becoming a global problem, because all of those trillions that were printed up at gunpoint in 2008 as part of the heist that was conducted in Congress, this is the result now of it. 2 years later, it's causing food prices to hit all-time new highs, which is causing revolts, rebellion, starvation, and it's a global, what I call the global insurrection, is now occurring. So the people in Cairo and Egypt have common cause with the people in Athens and the people in Dublin, who have common cause now with anyone in the U.S. Anyone in the U.S. who feels like they're getting the short end of the stick, you know, you are in the same boat as the people in Cairo and the people in Egypt and the people in Dublin and Athens. It's a global problem, and it's the same global bankers, you know, the same elite bankers are causing this. And their interests are quite obvious. They, when they make speculative bets on these agricultural prices, driving them to incredible highs, they make money. What happens if they make a mistake? Well, if they make a mistake, they go to the government and get more bailouts.
But it's more than that, Max. We've gotten internal documents over the years. They plan for making profits on the way up, and then on the implosion, when everything goes down to pennies on the dollar or the pound or the SDR, buying things up. I mean, here's the headline, and it's up at prisonplanet.com. Former managing director of Goldman Sachs: Egyptians, Greeks, Tunisians, and British are all protesting against pillaging of their economies. Let me read part of this. Nomi Prins, former managing director of Goldman Sachs and the head of the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London, notes that the Egyptian people are rebelling against being pillaged by giant international banks and their own governments as much as anything else. She also points out that the Greek, British, Tunisian, and other protesters are all in the same boat. And this is her quote: "The ongoing demonstrations in Egypt are as much, if not more, about the mass deterioration of economic conditions and the harsh result of years of financial degradations that the political ideology that some of the media seems more focused on." And they go on to break down how IMF World Bank policies are causing what's happening there. And so the issue here is, we have this unnatural event where these aren't bankers that hold your money. They call themselves bankers. These are con artists who can create any amount of currency or credit they want, and then they use that unfair trade advantage to take over all of society. And it's again, it's brazen, it's a fraud, and these greedy creatures have to be dealt with, period.
The phrase currency war, as it's used, is just that. The U.S. is printing trillions to go into these economies to disrupt them as a form of neocolonialism. They are looking to control these economies, and they're looking to take property from these economies. For example, Ireland has natural resources. They've got energy resources. They've got $20 billion in cash on the books. The IMF is bankrupt, but they're putting up the assets of Ireland as collateral to raise money to go and buy Ireland, and then they'll sell off some assets and keep the rest. So it's a levered raid. It's a hostile raid of a country by an international organization, the IMF. Ireland itself is fine. They have plenty of cash to go for two or three more years to work out their problems. But the IMF decided that they're going to get Moody's and these other rating agencies who work with them to downgrade the bonds suddenly.
Yes.
So that there's a huge crisis in the bond market. Then they come in with a package of loans that they themselves collateralize by the assets of the country that they're taking over.
And by the way, Max,
the IMF itself is bankrupt. They have no money. And before I jump in here, Nomi Prins, she was just on my show talking about Facebook and Goldman Sachs. I just sent you a link to a video. It's 3.5 minutes. It just came out on the web at 30 minutes ago. It's hot. You got to play it because she's brilliant. And she gets into this Facebook Goldman Sachs scam. People have got to hear this. I just sent it to Matt, but Matt is out in the parking lot or something. They got to get him back inside.
So now they've been scrambling to get it for 10 minutes since you told them, and certainly we'll play that going into overdrive. So your television show airs on coming up here in a few days. This hasn't even been seen yet?
But this show won't air until tomorrow. This is a clip.
Wow, we're getting a hot exclusive. Well, I tell you what.
A hot exclusive, exactly.
Well, we appreciate that, Max.
I agree with everything she just said. I mean, we're on the same page here. The problems in Cairo, Egypt, and in Europe are the result of banker abuse, as we've been saying for a few years. And the U.S. is slow to react because the U.S. dollar is still the world reserve currency, which means the U.S. can write checks it never cashes, which means that the price of oil and the price of food, relatively speaking, are cheap. People can still go to Walmart for $5 and, you know, get a taco and a gallon of gas. But that's changing because the overall flood of this money, especially if they go to a $100 trillion bailout of the globe, that means prices around the world, that means currency collapse. Or roll up into the new currency.
And then that's going to devalue very quickly. I mean, all of this is telescoping down now where they're just rolling it over into new instruments, but it's still trying to take on the weight of the derivatives they've created.
Exactly. And once they roll it into this new instrument, and you make a good point here, once they roll it and they'll say, well, your purchasing power is the same, but you lose your sovereignty, then the next $100 trillion or $200 trillion is easy to do because you don't have to answer to anybody but yourself. And then you have the hyperinflation, then you have the currency collapse, then you have the casino gulag, then you have what we've been talking about. And it's happening in real time. It's not. We're no longer on the edge. We're now entering Cairo, Egypt, Dublin, Athens. This is happening right now. The U.S. is the last to go because it's got the world reserve currency, but that will, once that changes, as I've said on your show many times, it's not inflation or deflation, it's the new currency, global currency, and even Jim Rickards, who was at Davos and tweeting from Davos, or is very close contact with Davos, the word in Davos is not inflation or deflation. It's recapitalization using a new global facility.
All right. Tell us about this former Goldman Sachs director that you interviewed.
Noemi Prince?
Yes, that we're about to premiere here, and why this is so important.
Well, on our show, we've talked about the casino gulag and the emergence of this new virtual currency. And, of course, Facebook's a huge player. Facebook just said that they're going to demand everyone who does business on their site in the gaming space, including things like Farmville and all the other games that use virtual currencies, have to all consolidate into one master virtual Facebook currency, which will then be convertible into U.S. dollars. So you work in 15 hours a day growing virtual vegetables on Farmville to get a 15 billion Facebook credits that are convertible.
And you predicted this 2 years ago, and now they've got a Goldman Sachs deal. I mean, you really know what's going on inside their brains.
Sure, because I work there, and I worked in the virtual credit and space, and I have a technology, as you point out, they invented a lot of the technology that goes into this. So I know this space very, very well, and you have a company like Zynga, which does the virtual currency. It's worth many billions of dollars. Facebook's worth $50 billion. So anyway, Goldman Sachs just put a huge investment into Facebook, and they said this company's worth $50 billion. Now, as part of that deal, Goldman Sachs blatantly broke SEC rules, and this is the subject of what I brought up with Noemi Prince in the clip that you're about to play, talking about the brazenness of Goldman breaking the law and the track record of Goldman breaking the law. And you should play it because it's an excellent clip.
We'll go ahead and play that clip right now. Here it is, Max Keiser with his guest, former managing director at Goldman Sachs.
Talking about a fraud-esque-like moment that's happening in the present. And this is the Goldman Sachs Facebook deal. Why is it worse than the crappy CDOs that Goldman was admittedly selling, referring back to what we were just talking about? Fill us in on this latest scandal.
All of this is a spin on the investment bank knowing more than what it is letting on to the investors and trading on the back of that, or being able to trade on the back of it, and so therefore being able to profit on the back of withholding information. And to a large extent, the Facebook deal was like that. It's a private deal, so it doesn't fully fall under the same public purview and rules as insider trading per se. But what Goldman basically did was raise a lot of capital, and they just went offshore to raise this capital because of the scrutiny that was put on this deal in the United States. I like to think also by some of the articles I and others were writing. And they didn't want to be bothered, and so they went and they raised money for this Facebook deal offshore. And the reason it's shady in that respect is because Facebook, in the course of this deal, and yes, it is private, has not really disclosed the information as to how it ticks financially. Facebook will not disclose this information until 2012, so basically 14 months after investors have succumbed into going into this deal and have worked with Goldman to raise capital to basically allow Facebook to be valued at $50 billion as opposed to the $10 billion that it was valued at just a year ago. And the way Goldman has kind of structured the deal is they put in some seed money, which is how CDOs work. CDOs always worked on the basis of the investment bank would put in some money, some hedge fund would put in some money, and that would entice other investors to follow along. You know, there was a cushion there. Someone was giving it a stamp of approval, which is sort of what's happening with this Facebook deal. Now, it's very possible that Facebook is the be-all, end-all in 2012. In 2013, when Goldman's investors are actually allowed to get out of the deal, Goldman, of course, can get out of the deal at any time, as they could with the CDO. But, you know, it's also likely or possible that that won't be the case. And the investors in this deal are paying 10% to Goldman in case it even occurs that their value goes up in this deal when they can get out, and fees to Goldman in order to structure this deal and allow them to be involved in it in the first place. And I think the fact that they went offshore and they had to get outside investors from the United States is very telling.
Yeah, but wait a second here, because the law is that to get more than 500 investors, you need some additional disclosure. What Goldman Sachs did was they decided to invent a new concept, which was that they took one of those shares or one of those holders and they split it into a holding, which would allow others to participate. And that's an idea that they should have gotten the SEC's opinion on before they went to the market and breached what is the standing legal statute. They breached the law. I mean, that's not the way the law reads. So why can't they get an SEC opinion first? Why is it always on Wall Street? They break the law first, and then they say, well, we're going to go ahead anyway, and it's up to you to change the law. They're always wanting people to change the law. What about obeying the law?
Absolutely, but the thing is, it works for them.
All right, and that's coming up on Friday on his Russia Today program, premiering that here with us. We're thankful for that information. But this is insider trading, insider trading. They're creating their own fiat markets and then not even disclosing and then only allowing insiders to get in. This reminds me of Goldman Sachs selling bad packages of housing loans to their customers and telling them it was a great deal while writing internal emails about how it was absolute crud. And then meanwhile, the SEC only goes after the competition of the big mega brokerage houses for a crooked toenail, but they're allowed to engage in bloody murder. This is all up at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and MaxKaiser.com. We're going to come back, get Max Kaiser's take on that video, and then if Max can do it, I got to ask him during the break, we're going into overdrive to take your phone calls and get into other big issues here live today. All right, we're going to start the next hour and do 20 minutes of phone calls. Wide open phones, any issue you want to discuss, those that have been patiently holding, you'll get to talk to Max Kaiser, Mike, Tim, Daniel, Lynn, Brian, 800-259-9231, and we'll get you up and on the air. Wide open phones, 800-259-9231. Don't forget the top story at Infowars.com. and PrisonPlanet.com deals with the Obama internet kill switch. It's actually the NSA banking-owned Pentagon takeover of the web. But if it'll get conservatives hopping mad and trying to stop it, if we put Obama's name on it, sure enough, there you go. Obama's kill switch. Ooh, scary. You know, and in a way, he is the one pushing it, and Cass Sunstein, an open authoritarian. Max, why, as long as somebody prances around and speaks with a lisp, is it okay if they call for authoritarian things? If they prance around, speak with a lisp, and say that they're liberal, why can they then call for things that can only be called Stalinesque or Hitlerian? What's the issue behind that?
What, are we back from the break yet?
Yes, we're live.
Oh, right. Geez, I don't know, Alex, but I'll tell you, I just saw something that's very interesting. Canada, you know, they have introduced metered internet, talking about the internet. Metered internet, because this is that issue of net neutrality.
Yeah, that was my next subject for you. It was actually here in my stack dealing
okay.
with the...
Well, let me continue. I'll talk. You listen. So, you know, Canada is bringing in this internet, metered internet, and it's going to charge people a premium for content. So, you know, the whole beauty of the internet is that it's this great democratic, meritocratic, point-to-point open in network is being destroyed, as they want to turn it into cable television that you're going to pay through the nose for, and all of the ability for it to be used for social networking in terms of you know, getting people together to assemble to fight back against the media whore.
That'll only be allowed on insider sites like Facebook. And here it is, a 200 gigabyte to 25 gigabyte, Canada gets first bitter dose of metered internet. That is internet too. And Google announced last week, for those that don't know, that, because I want to give folks the full spectrum here, that they are going to start blocking alternative sites. What's happened is, Max, we are kicking their hind in and their lies, because we have the truth, and so they're not going to play fair. They're coming in, sucking their thumb, mainstream media, going, government, come in and shut down Alex Jones and Max Kaiser and Drudge Report. We don't like it, mommy! And
yeah,
they're openly,
right.
Yeah, they're doing it.
They're afraid to compete. I say, let's compete. You know, man up. Let's compete. You know, let's put Alex Jones.
Yeah, whatever happened to markets? Whatever happened to open markets? Oh.
No, they've been taken over by the oligarchs in the banking sector. Here's another interesting headline. Did you know that China apparently is getting ready to run a candidate in the U.S.? This is a headline for you, the Manchurian candidate. White House expects ambassador from China to explore a 2012 presidential bid.
Excuse me? Excuse me, it's gotten that obvious we're going to have a Chinese dictator as our leader? Guys,
yes,
where is that from, Kaiser? I got to see that. Where is that from?
Well, look it up, man. I mean, you're talking about old
news. I was just asking you the headline. Chinese ambassador to explore.
You're day old, man. You're down there in Austin. You're like 24 hours behind the news curve. I'm giving you the up-to-date stuff.
I had the story yesterday about the meters in Canada. And I had it 5 years ago that Canada was going to test it out first. So, Kaiser, don't try to count coup on me. My ego can't handle it.
Before it hits Austin, Texas.
All right. Hey, stay there. We're going to do some overdrive. You know, this is gallows humor. Actually, that was my next question for Kaizita. And that is, we're going to get into the whole internet kill. We are live. This is the GCN Radio Network, GCNLive.com, where you can hear Max Kaiser Saturday mornings with a syndicated radio transmission. And here it is out of Politics Daily. You can't make stuff up like this. When President Obama appointed Utah's popular Republican governor, John Huntsman, to be the ambassador to China in May 2009, it looked like a smart move to show Obama's willingness to reach across party lines and to be more cynical, a way to sideline a possible opponent in 2012. But that second calculation, if it was Obama's mind, may prove wrong. Several news organizations, including Politico and ABC News, are reporting that Huntsman may quit the China job this spring to prepare for a presidential run, that he will make his decision by summer. And I saw another report today where the Chinese said any companies they work with must do joint ventures with other Chinese companies of their choice and build factories and give all their technology to the communist Chinese. And I did see some points actually made by Donald Trump, who I'm not a big fan of usually, about how it's all a one-way street with China, with them keeping their currency low, all of it. But because America doesn't have a government, we're just an open door, like a whorehouse for the foreign banking cartels, we are at a disadvantage, and so we're going to Hades in a hell Hades in a handbasket. I want to come back and go to calls, because I know you're holding, but I want everybody to hear your calls. Getting into this situation here, Max Kaiser, it just gets crazier and crazier. As Egypt goes offline, U.S. gets internet kill switch bill ready. They're now pushing authoritarianism as if it's mother's milk. And yes, they're moving towards the metered, tracked, internet ID'd, new internet that's a piece of junk. And they're really trying it because of this perfect storm of old dinosaur media and mainstream media. Max Kaiser, what's your take on this and how do we stop it?
Well, before I leave the China story there, just a quick note. You know, when Hu Jintao was in Washington, interesting alignment of facts. You had, I think it was either Boeing or Lockheed, was given a multi-tens of billions of dollars of business from China, while simultaneously announcing they were firing 10,000 Americans. So, you know, the karmic poetry of this is beautiful. So you have these businessmen in the U.S. literally kowtowing in front of the Chinese premier, for billions of dollars of the deals, but at the same time, they're firing Americans. So, you know, this is an interesting time in history. And China, of course, is looking to somehow... anyway, let's move on. What was the second question? Okay, the internet kill switch. You know, the internet kill switch, we see it happening in Cairo, right? They flick the switch. They shut down social media. You have... This completely obliterates the point of the internet to begin with. You know, the internet is supposed to be point-to-point, open-ended. It's you know, the point of the internet under the DARPA design was that you couldn't take it down. You couldn't kill it. There's thousands and hundreds of thousands of points.
Instead, under this, you can only visit a handful of sites like Facebook. They admit that's the model.
Right. Well, in the initial thing, and the reason why there is a Facebook is because any frickin' 22-year-old college Harvard guy could create a domain site and go to the world and get thousands of users and create a company. But that will kill that. That's another reason why Facebook is overvalued at $50 billion is because they're killing the golden goose here. If you strip the entrepreneur out of the internet, if you make it impossible for people to reach the world for free, which was what made the internet this multi-billion, trillion global phenomenon, you're killing it. You're killing the golden goose. So why? Because those people like Comcast and the major media companies, they want to squeeze just yet another few pennies from the consumer, and they don't care if the consumer has to go into debt, and that brings us back to the casino gulag. So the people on these sites like Facebook, not only are they going to spend all their money on virtual currencies, getting avatars and other game pieces to show off to their friends in a meaningless way, but they're going to go into virtual debt. This is a subject that has not been talked about. In other words, the same way people go into debt today with mortgages they can't afford or car payments they can't afford, people online are going to start going into virtual debt. And the only way they can pay off their virtual debt is to stay online 24 hours a day, clicking on ads and participating.
All right.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we're back live doing a couple more segments with the one, the only Max Kaiser, going directly to your calls. But Max got cut off by the break. We're talking about the internet morphing away from a free open system that has been the only boon for our economy, really, in the last 15 years, the only real growth sector driving everything. And now the globalists, going back over a decade, have openly said they're going to phase it into this internet too, where you've only got a few thousand choices. All of those are globalist subsidiaries. If you have a domain, it will be a subdomain of a Facebook or a CNN or a New York Times or a government site or a university. And now, what Kaiser talked about 3 years ago on this show, Goldman Sachs, Facebook, where you, quote, make money clicking on ads all day, but it's not enough money to live. And meanwhile, they know where you're at. They're tracking you. They know your every move. They know what you're doing. They want to keep you on their internet platforms where you waive your rights when you're on Google or Facebook, and now they can surveil you. And they train people how cool it is to give all their private data up to these systems. It's incredible. Is that what you're getting at, Max Keiser?
That's one half of the story, which is the gulag story, and the other half is the casino story. So in order to keep people hooked, of course, they use all the tricks and the techniques of the casino so that people they win a little bit here and there to keep them hooked, and all the behavioral economics and all the ways that they now knew through neuroeconomics to keep people hooked into this gulag casino. So at the end of the day, you're there gambling your entire life away to make enough money to get a cup of coffee, and just like that couple in Korea, South Korea. I don't know if you saw this story. It was a few months ago. They got so involved in raising their virtual avatar baby online as part of a game that they neglected their real baby, who starved to death.
Yes, I did see that. Let's put the cherry on top on this and then go to calls. People are being sucked into the internet. It is becoming the literal matrix. It's a fantasy world, and people will go out and mug folks to have money to go into Second Life and all these other virtual systems to then have status in the false reality. And then as we neglect the real reality, it allows the tyranny to come creeping in. And just like Orwell talked about how Big Brother would use lotteries and the proletariat would have energy and intellect to have fake systems to win the lottery, but couldn't wake up to government corruption. This is the system of enslavement, is this forced gambling society.
Right. Just like, for example, a Wall Street bank, like J.P. Morgan, is the number one dealer in derivative products that end up in foreclosures and devastation in America. Guess who is also the number one dealer in food stamps in America?
They control the system. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan.
They make you homeless. They put you on the food line, and then they also make a business in the food stamps. That's what J.P. Morgan does. Now Goldman Sachs has a play in Facebook because it's a new virtual gulag casino. They'll have people having their prices of food so high they can't afford to eat. They'll be online all day long trying to make enough virtual currency to convert it into dollars through their swipe card that'll be provided by them. You can already go to 7-Eleven right now, and they have a deal with Farmville, which is part of Facebook. You can get actual food in exchange.
And
for
you predicted all of this 3 years ago on this show, Keiser. Incredible. Here's some breaking news. Florida judge rules healthcare law unconstitutional. A second federal judge, has ruled that healthcare reform bill signed into law last year by Barry Sotaro, known as Barack Obama, in March, was unconstitutional. Today's decision is the second ruling by a federal judge against the constitutionality of the health care legislation. Two other federal courts have upheld the constitutionality of the law, including its requirement that most Americans buy health insurance or pay a penalty. But then meanwhile, if you get an imperial chit from Obama, like McDonald's or others, you don't have to get the health care, but your competition does, giving you an unfair trade advantage. Talk about a stilted, jilted table. Talk about the casino gulag where the house always wins, but you, the suckers, don't. And bringing up J.P. Morgan involved controlling the food stamps and having foreign operators in India answering the phones for the unemployment systems, it reminds me of congressional studies that came out where big mega banks laundering hundreds of billions of dollars of drug money a year, this is admitted, also own the private prisons where they put you when you use the narcotics they ship in. I mean, they've got this whole thing actuaried out. They've got this thing figured out, Max Keiser.
Well, that's the casino industry. It's extremely, calibrated and calculated to bring people in. They use those frequent player cards in the casinos. They know your emotional psychographic. They steer you in ways that you have fallibilities in your psyche so that you give up most of your money. Two of the biggest things, fallacies I hear from the, let's call it the liberal press, are two things. Number one, that Barack Obama created some kind of new health care that's beneficial for people. That's false. Plus, the banks are paying back the money they were given by the government. That is also false. When I tune into people like, for example, Bill Maher, he has a show on HBO called Real Time. Every week, he says, well, Obama's health care and or the bank bailouts, we're getting our money back. Both of those things are patently false, and which is frustrating because there's nobody in mainstream media or even, let's say, CNBC's Rachel Maddow, who's a kind of a more on that left space.
Mr. Maddow.
Who was willing to admit that health care was a big, huge, wet kiss to the insurance and pharmaceutical companies.
Well, they publicly wrote it, and I would tell moron liberals that they're not even liberals. They're just tuning into a fake corporate transmission of who they are and then defending this false reality.
30 million people are going to have to go into debt on behalf of the pharmaceutical and insurance companies. That's what that bill
means. And it allows them to take over and cut doctors out of the equation of deciding what health care you get. And that's what the liberals want. That's their eugenics.
Refuse to just look at the plain facts on these cases. The bank bailouts, for example, you hear all the time, we're getting paid back for the bailout money, which is, again, is completely false. All you have to do is look at that debt ceiling number. If, in fact, there was anyone getting paid back for anything, would they be raising the debt ceiling again by another $1 trillion? And that's going to end up being raised several times over the next year. And it's absolutely ludicrous to think that any money is being paid back to anybody for these bailouts. In fact, they're just siphoning up more cash on a daily basis and just making.
So where does it end? Because I got to go to phone calls. People are holding patiently. I'm going to skip this break. You know, we're going to take these calls. But where does it end? I mean, do people wake up out of the Matrix trance while they're playing, games like Angry Birds all day? Do people stop it? Or is it just over for us and the globalists figured out mind control? They figured out, you know, a beautiful kaleidoscope to suck us into this, and that's it. Humanity's over.
No, we're seeing it over in other countries. They are reacting to this issue, and it's just the U.S. is going to be one of the last countries to react because of that dollar reserve status and the fact that even now the relative cost of food and energy for most Americans is dirt cheap relative to the rest of the world. And that's why America's going to act last.
And that's why the system is gearing up all this paramilitary force to suppress us because they can't believe what they've already gotten away with. And so they're getting the cops ready, the machine guns, the weapons, the camps, because they know that if the U.S. ever gets taken back by the American people, their party is over. Let's talk to Tony in Seattle. Thanks for holding her on the air with Max Keiser.
Yes, Max, good to hear from you. Thank you, Mr. Jones, again. We've been having some basic, let's say, informative meetings on my side. And the question that keeps coming up consistently as we're trying to inform those are the secret meetings of the federal people, Bohemian Grove meetings, bank fraud people taking copious, spiffs.
Yeah.
While they're ruining us, okay, this is what the people are trying to ask me. How do we prosecute? How do we hold them accountable? Why aren't they? Is this an AG scenario, a judge issue? Is this a class act lawsuit scenario? How do we finally hold these people accountable?
Well, lawsuits are exposing the fraud of them foreclosing on houses that are paid for or houses they don't have paperwork on or houses they don't really own. I think running for office, suing, boycotting globalist companies, supporting local economies. Max Keiser, what are a gamut of solutions?
Well, as the caller points out, and as we've been talking about, when they get caught, they simply change the law. You remember part of the foreclosure crisis, I think it was Goldman or Bank of America, was caught violating interstate notary law, and they simply passed the new law to change the law. So my solution gets back to the fact that the banks are holding hundreds of billions of our money that they refuse to act in a responsible way. The only way to get our money back, and we've talked about on your show before, is that buy silver campaign, which you buy an ounce of silver in physical, you destroy 100 ounces of paper on the balance sheet of these banks, in particular J.P. Morgan. So in other words, it's a global movement to take physical off the market and to just put these banks out of business because there's no law that will be passed to address the problem. There's no government official who's not in the pocket of the banks The only thing that can be worked is if we rebalance the market itself. And the only way we can do that with the resources we have is by each of us putting up a few bucks, take a physical ounce off the market. It's less than $30 billion. The entire global silver market is less than $30 billion.
Yeah, Max, we got to move on. But if you look at the silver and gold graph the last 10 years, it's going straight up. They can always manipulate it down for a season, but then it bounds up even more after that. And we see that rebound already happening again. And they've reported in the last 2 months since we launched this operation here with Max's spurring that it's record physical purchases going on, and that separation between paper and reality is becoming more and more clear.
It's happening in the energy market too, Alex. You know that the paper price for oil is $10 cheaper than the physical price?
Yes.
So, and this is happening in these markets all over the world, and they're becoming completely detached from reality, which is leading to incredible instability, which means that there's an incredible bank crash coming. And this is what they'll say. They'll come to us and they'll say, because the banks have crashed, really this time, what happened in 2008 was nothing. They really are crashing. We need to roll up all these currencies into a $100 trillion new lending facility in a global bank, and they'll threaten to destroy everyone's lives unless we agree to that. And my point is, we got to get the jump.
Yeah, at that point, we educate everybody and we call for their arrest for the financial terrorism and say, that's enough, scammers. It's over. Then we go with the Ron Paul model. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in Illinois. Got to move through these calls. Mike, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jones. Good evening, Mr. Kaiser. I'd like to paint the Egyptian issue in a totally different light. If the United States has been deindustrialized and it's been handed over to China, China truly benefits from control of things like the Suez Canal and the Panama Canal. If the United States is going into decline and we're going to have to pull out of that region, that power void will be filled, at least in this projection, by a Chinese presence. Now, they benefit the most from all of this. They have access to European markets.
And they have incredible interest inside our government. Our government doesn't exist anymore. As I said, it's a whorehouse where you put coins in and get enslaved Americans back. So I agree that there may be some Chinese interest in here. That's an interesting point. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Have at it, Max.
Kaiser.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I agree. I mean, the Chinese have incredible influence there. They've got the cash, and they'll be very active, and they've got the cash to do it. The U.S., as you point out, deindustrialized, big banking problems, and the popularity of America in Egypt is less than 17%. It's one of the least popular countries in the world in Egypt.
And again, that's unpopularity with the ruling regime and the political whore class. Just like Congress has a 9-11% here, that doesn't mean America hates America. These people aren't America. These are hijacking Bernie Madoff, Ken Lay types. Arrest them. Get them out of here. End it now. Death to the New World Order. Give me my republic. Anything else, Mike?
Yeah. If you were actually going to perform a Machiavellian exchange of leadership and take the United States out of a top dog position, you would really be seeing what's going on in the world right now. I think in the future you're going to see nationalization of production, and they'll just tell the American companies, too bad. They've already got the production facilities. We already set them up with the equipment. We gave them the designs. I mean, they've splayed us out in front of the Chinese and are asking them to just crush us. So as we move forward and we see all of these new things develop throughout the world, you can't apply the old models. Egypt has been an ally. They've provided us unfettered access to the Persian Gulf for decades to perform military operations. I mean, as all of these things happen, you have to look at it.
No, I agree with you, but I wouldn't say China. That's what I've been saying the last 2-3 days on this. It's globalist. If we think about it as terms of America, China, we get it wrong. China is the new darling apprentice of the New World Order because it sterilizes people and force aborts in the globalists. That's a sacrament to them. And they would do select business deals where only certain globalists could gain access. Then they could leverage out their competition worldwide. But I agree, this is a globalist move to undercut Egypt, to create global crisis, which will empower the globalist interest, not America. And it is done as an entree towards the new baby Satan, China. Max Kaiser.
Well, a couple of points. Number one, this events of the past 2-3 weeks are making Al Jazeera an incredibly important global network. It's been shut out of America since it launched 10 years ago. And I think that as a result, many people are demanding Al Jazeera English in America. And it's a fantastic network. I've made many films for them. Number two, you know, during this whole uprising...
Tarpley says they're British intelligence run.
Well, give people a choice between CNN, NBC, CNBC, Al Jazeera English. Check it out. You know, view it. See what you think about it. You know, don't condemn it before you investigate it. The second thing is... we've been talking about Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. You never hear the word Muslim or Islamist, Islam, because this is a movement of the people.
I mean, it's not Muslims in, you know, that are revolting in Ireland or in Greece either.
But it caught everybody off guard, you know, because the narrative in all these countries, the way the U.S. keeps their thumb on a country like Egypt, of course, is to talk about them in terms of them being Islam. And, of course, in America, Islam equals terrorist fanatic. And you don't hear that because... this is not what's going on here.
We're actually seeing Middle Easterners or North Africans that aren't being called Beelzebub. Thank you, Mike.
Is a huge change in the war, the information war, because the folks that want to control things like to position Islam in very negative terms. But this is not the case here. You never hear negative terms.
Let's jam in a few final calls, people. Max. We got to get to these. Daniel in Illinois, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Alex? This is Dan. I came across some key info. I got an application video for the New World Order job. When you're on YouTube, look up Illuminati video announced 2011. It just came out.
Well, there's also lots of hoax videos where people act like they're really the Illuminati, but we'll look it up right now. Thank you, Daniel. Let's talk to Brian in Connecticut. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, Max, this is Brian. I'm driving, so I'll try and keep this brief.
Sure.
First of all, I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to you, Alex, for years. I was a Money Bomb supporter, and I just wanted to send you guys a lot of love and appreciation for helping to share a real, a real open-hearted American perspective on life and common sense. It's so refreshing. You know, I grew up in Connecticut here, and we were just kind of indoctrinated with the standard vaccine-based information system, you know, and it's so refreshing. I just really wanted to thank you guys.
Well, let me say you, all the love from here. We couldn't do it without you, the listeners who spread the word and support us, so I want to thank you. We're almost out of time. Do you have any questions or comments for Max Keiser?
Yes, sir. I'll keep this super brief then. I just wanted to hear your guys' perspective on something. I thought of just a very, very simple, common sense thing that people can do to help kind of like restore some sense of common sense and integrity in people's own minds. And I think that will have
a
positive effect. Yeah. Basically, if an average healthy person gets what people call the flu, I think that people should be thankful for that, because if you use some common sense, according to some doctors like Russell Blaylock and folks like that I've been listening to, they're kind of advocating that, you know, when you get a fever and you get these aches and chills, it's basically your body just kind of, you know, like purging some stuff that it needs to let go of. And the aches and the bones and the joints are also like the bones and the joints kind of purging some things.
Yeah, they don't want you to learn, your body to learn how to protect itself. I guess that's the question for Max Keiser. I appreciate that call. This whole casino gulag economy, it's the same thing with Big Pharma, Max, and people are waking up to that.
Yeah, it's not the flu, it's the plague. You know, we got the plague here. We got the financial plague. We've got the banker plague, and it's decimating entire populations. And the U.S., which is a media capital of the world in many respects, is going to hit there last. So that's really the irony of all this whole thing. That's what makes it so hard to get the message through to Americans, is because they're going to be the last on the list because they've got that cushion of a reserve currency. But the people in Egypt and around the world don't have that cushion. They're feeling the effects of all that money printing right now, and they're now facing starvation, and they're revolting, and they're trying to do it peacefully despite the provocateurs, despite the machinations of the U.S. government. All they want is a fair deal. All they want to do is compete fairly.
Max, we're almost out of time. In closing, you premiered that video here, and we're appreciative of that, of Naomi Prinz, the former managing director at Goldman Sachs, coming out against Goldman Sachs and basically saying insider trading. Why is she now getting so hardcore and speaking out?
I think that she is somebody, and you find this in the finance business a lot. They come into finance, and I am the same, with a real healthy respect for this idea of free market capitalism. And when you see it being abused, as you do, like Goldman Sachs and other banks, you become outraged, and you have to get that message out there. She's one of us, Alex. She's a good one.
All right, Max, let me say bye to you during this break. Retransmission coming up here in just a moment. Infowars.com is our website. Max, this is MaxKaiser.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm going to talk to Max during the break.